Busiest bar night of the year. What is this? Blackout Wednesday? It's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Kev, it's good to be working with you, man.
I know, Pete. I haven't done a show with you in quite some time, so it's good to see you here filling in for Roe.
This is nice. Lauren, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Going a little flannel today.
Yeah, I felt this was very Thanksgiving-like, if you can have a Thanksgiving outfit.
Why is a flannel shirt Thanksgiving-like?
I don't know. It just reminds me of fall and...
Guys,
wood shopping.
We're live on CLTV. You're wearing flannel. You got a hoodie sweatshirt on. I wore a dress shirt. You got to look good for television.
Sure. I don't think we put too much effort in.
I guess not.
Basis.
It's basically, I don't know. Today just feels kind of like
a blow off day because Pete McMurray's here.
Yeah, kind of. It's
like a substitute teacher. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Guys, I brought my A game today.
I made
a pumpkin pie.
Ooh.
So we're going to have a blind pumpkin pie taste test.
Yes.
We have one from Costco, which is the greatest pumpkin pie on the planet.
Oh.
I disagree.
High praise.
It's the size of the wheel on your car, and it's $5.99. I know that because I was just at Costco yesterday. It's so good. However,
well, feeds a lot of people, so I guess that's a benefit.
Jewel has a great pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm.
I brought that in, and I made my own.
But no Baker's Square.
No Baker's Square. Sorry,
that's my number one, but...
What do you mean that's your number one?
It's my number one pumpkin pie. It's from Baker's Square.
Well, where's the Baker's Square in the city?
There's not a lot of Baker's Square. That's the
problem. That's the problem. So I went over to Costco.
All right, that works.
We have Chef Paul Guerrero, who's coming in studio from the Cooking Skills Academy in Itasca. He left yesterday to get here on time because of the traffic.
Yeah.
Wow, poor guy. We got to bring him in studio. He brought a pork stuffing recipe. Have you guys smelled it? Did you walk over?
Yeah, I walked by there.
Yeah,
oh,
very excited.
This is good stuff.
The traffic, by the way, coming in from the Northwest Burbs, the Kennedy is a parking lot, essentially.
Oh, it's
of course.
Yeah.
Today is the busiest travel day of the year.
Yep.
This is it. How about we do this? 312-981-7200. We need updates from the roads from you. If you're on the Ike, the Ryan, the Kennedy, the Stevenson, call us. 312-981-7200. You get on the air, we'll set you up with a Thanksgiving pizza from Lou Malnati's. Get a traffic report. I did not take the Kennedy. I got on Clybourne and I did the side roads.
Smart.
I didn't get on the major highways.
Probably
that
a good
was
call.
Smart.
Right.
Although now we're being impacted with the wind, a lot of fallen power cables and utility poles and things like that. Debris has been blocking certain lanes. So really, you're not safe anywhere.
I mean, the wind. I could feel the wind driving in for sure.
Gosh,
I mean, it was jerking the car around a little bit.
Could you imagine if you were flying out today? Think about how many flights are delayed. They have to be.
Yeah, a lot of them.
I was very much attempting to avoid driving next to semis and large trucks because some of those things, if you're driving behind them, you can see it swaying a little bit. I don't want to be any part of that. So
there was an overturned semi on 55 today.
Yeah, a lot of damage downtown as well. Some of the images that were coming through are pretty wild.
Jeez, man. And I thought it was bad that I raked my yard on Sunday and now my neighbor's leaves are in my yard. I was very upset about that.
At least it's not the trampoline.
No. But you do see things just blowing down the street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
40 to 50 mile an hour winds, is that what we're talking right now?
With gusts up to 65.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
Nasty out there. Be safe, folks.
Yeah.
Well, drive safe, get somewhere, have a cocktail, and get ready for the Bears tomorrow.
Are they going to win tomorrow, Pete? I know you're a passionate Bears fan.
God, I don't know. I got to be honest. I just don't think they will.
We had Adam Hogue on yesterday, and he thinks they're going to lose for whatever reason. Home game for Detroit. They might be a little hyped up.
Right. It's Thanksgiving Day.
Thanksgiving Day.
What time is the game? 11 o'clock?
11:30. We'll have a special pregame show with Hampton OB at 9, and then we'll have a postgame show, obviously, with them as well. I think I've picked them to win every single game so far, Pete. You know, just because I mean, it's always like, okay, they're going to turn the corner. They're going to turn the corner, and then they don't turn the corner. Or they take one step forward, two steps back.
You know, I'm here on Sundays before the postgame.
Yeah.
So I do the show before Hampton OB.
So you can hear the rumblings and the whole station shaking as Hampton OB make their way through the station?
I've known Hamp for a while, so I can kind of read him now. I know he gets raging mad and throws things at the TV in the conference room, but OB, I'm deathly afraid of that guy.
Yep.
I walked in the conference room on Sunday where they watch the game and they have this banquet of food.
There's always a massive spread of like 20-ounce ribeyes and meatballs.
There's enough food for 30 people, and those guys are just sitting there watching TV, just gnawing on some food. But OB was wearing a shirt, a blue, untucked, long-sleeve shirt. I go, OB, are you going out clubbing? And he gave me this look like he was about ready to punch me in the neck. I'm like, I'm just going to go to the back of the room.
Yeah, sorry, Sydney.
And just kind of walk out.
Fade away.
OB gets angry, man. He does. So we got the pre and post with those guys tomorrow.
Yes. Yes, right. Sir.
Good stuff. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk to Billy Bush around 4:15. He's the host of Extra. Check in with Billy. Also, the pumpkin pie eating contest. And my mother is going to be on before 5 o'clock. I called her before the show. I'm like, Ma, I got to check in. We need to hear from you because you've been cooking for a month. She's like, honey, okay, just let me know. I got to get going because I have to make stuffing right now. That's her thing. She makes stuffing from scratch, so she has to put all the bread in the broiler and the toaster.
And you have like 37 siblings, right?
I do. Yeah, 38. Mm-hmm. And they're all going to be home except me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because you're working?
Yeah. I'm here. My son has basketball stuff, man.
That's dedication, Pete.
Yeah, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll go to the phones in just a second. We have somebody right outside the airport. I can't wait to check in with Frank. Lucy on Mannheim Road. We got Allison on the Stevenson and Greg on 294. We'll check in with you in a second. But first, we're going to check weather and traffic. Lauren, what do we have? When does this wind stop? Let's check in the Weather Center at WGN-TV with Demetrius Ivory. How are you, man?
Hello.
Are you?
We're both on the phone and on the radio.
It's a little windy, isn't it?
I think a little bit, right?
Uh-huh.
How about wind gusts up to 65 miles per hour in some areas? O'Hare got 61 moments ago. So damaging winds that we're talking about right now.
How are they getting flights out at O'Hare?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We called some of the air traffic guys yesterday, and they let us know it all depends on the direction of the winds, even sometimes even more than the intensity. So when you're talking about winds, wind speeds that are coming in over 30 knots, 30 to 40 knots, so you're talking, 35 to 50, 45, 50 miles an hour, that's when you really start to have some issues. But a crosswind is obviously worse than a tailwind or a headwind. So,
right.
So it all depends on the wind direction. And you know, at O'Hare, they have all those different runways which kind of face different directions. So maybe they are kind of guiding guys or flights into those runways which are going into the wind or away from the wind.
So do we have this wind all night, or does it subside?
No, the winds will subside, but quite slowly. I mean, we're looking at winds now sustained at between 25 to 35 miles per hour. But then as we get into this evening, those winds will slowly weaken. Now, still strong winds tonight. I mean, they're probably going to be gusting to probably 40 miles per hour or so for much of this evening. Yeah. So you'll still be able to hear it before you walk outside.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But those winds will diminish basically with each hour tonight.
Does anybody else freak out with the wind? My wife, early in the week, we're going to see 60, 70 mile an hour winds. You got to trim that tree. It's going to hit the house and down our power line. So I had to have a tree trimming guy come out on Tuesday in anticipation anticipation for today.
Well, I woke up this morning and the house is creaking. I mean, you could feel it in the house. That's how strong the wind is.
I thought a plane was landing in front of my house. Yeah. That's how loud it was against my window. I was like, what is that?
And it's better to get that guy out yesterday than try calling him today or tomorrow.
Yeah, forget it.
He'll be like, oh, no problem. I'll get you sometime between, 8 a.m. and 8 p.m.
We're on the 18th floor here. Everything's fine. Great. But I've worked in the Hancock. The Hancock moves when it's windy like this.
Oh, yeah. And they're built to do that. Which is not, that still doesn't comfort me.
Well, the Vista, which is being built just about four buildings east of us, which I think is going to be the second tallest building in Chicago.
Right.
If you read up on that, they actually dedicated, I think, two whole floors where they've actually...
It's like big water jugs or something.
Well, no, they actually it's like screened in basically. But the idea is for the wind to help cut through a little bit, because a lot of these high rises is exactly what you guys are saying. People
right.
who rent them were complaining that, I mean, if you're a little wheezy, some people could actually
feel it.
You
don't want it moving.
I mean, so yeah.
That's the top. You know, when I moved here, I had always lived, first or second floor, maybe third floor. And when I moved to Chicago, I thought, boy, this is going to be awesome. I moved to, I guess I was in the 30th floor or something like that. And I was like, this is going to be great. I get to see thunderstorms up closer. It's not better. higher is not better when you're talking about weather.
So how does the weather look for tomorrow? A lot of people get out in the morning. They do the turkey trot, maybe play some football. What are we looking at?
You know, I've been saying all week the turkey bowl is on. We'll be looking at cooler conditions. I mean, high temperature tomorrow, upper 30s if we're lucky. Maybe in some areas north, only mid-30s. It'll be cloudy, but the winds are going to only be gusting to about 15 miles per hour. So pretty nice day, actually. I mean, that's winning for Thanksgiving, right?
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's not going to be warm. It's going to be much cooler, kind of like it is outside right now. But we won't have the winds. We won't have the rain or snow.
I'll take that.
I was going to say, considering we've already had a snowstorm, we've had brutal winds, horrible temperatures, that actually sounds like a pretty nice Thanksgiving to be
true. Yeah, winter's not even here yet.
It's been brutal.
And what about Sunday when people are flying back? Isn't there another storm coming through?
There is another storm. Now, for us, that storm, I think, is maybe going to be more impactful. It's going to be rain, then changing over to snow. Right now, you know, I'm not picking up much in terms of accumulation. You know, as we get closer, you know, we don't like to give out accumulation totals, you know, 4 days out because
no,
all that does is get the emails going,
right?
You know,
set yourself up there.
Yeah, we don't need that. But you know, there is going to be the potential for rain to change to snow. So it's probably going to be rain changing to snow, probably, you know, around 2 p.m. or like right around afternoon. So if you got those folks with the early flights, probably rain. Those folks with the later flights, you could be looking at some snow.
God,
and that's what I'd be on the lookout for.
Every year this happens in Chicago around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's just bad. You should know. People should leave on Monday or Tuesday and come back the following Monday.
Do you happen to have record highs or lows for Thanksgiving, Demetrius? Because it always seems to be pretty consistently 30s, 40s-ish.
We do. We have them. Let's see. I'm going to pull it up here. So bear with me because I have it in a kind of a spreadsheet that shows.
You know, I don't remember like a very warm Thanksgiving my entire life. Like one of those random years.
When I was younger, before global warming. In the small town of P-Town in Peoria.
Right. Let's see. The normal for Thanksgiving, obviously 43 and 28. The warmest Thanksgiving day. That's why it's always hard. Thanksgiving's a hard one because it's a day that moves. So so when you look at, you know, Christmas is easy, right? It's the 25th of December. Thanksgiving's all over the place. So you got to look each year and make sure you got the right Thursday. But anyway,
right.
The record high, the warmest Thanksgiving day was 69 degrees in 1966. So I don't think you remember that one.
No.
The coldest was -1, November 23rd, 1950.
Wow.
See, it gives you an idea of Thanksgiving, the fluctuation.
I'll take tomorrow's weather. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'll take it. Now, let's see. It rains. It has rained 56% of the time on Thanksgiving, so we're going to beat that. We'll lower that one by a little bit because we're not going to see rain there. And the snowiest ever on Thanksgiving was 3 inches on November 27th, 1980. Yeah.
Sure.
Still well before my time.
Yeah, I don't see anything. Well, let's see here. I'm going to go back to just the last couple of ones here. So in 2015, the high was 60.
Oh,
do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
2014, 27 degrees. No good.
No.
November 2018. Now, or 2013, excuse me, it was 34. Now, boy, we had no idea the winter that was going to come our way. 2013, 2014. That's your polar vortex.
Oh, that was bad.
Let's not
go down that road.
That was terrible. Yeah. So
it was a bad December.
Was a bad one. So 2012, it was 63 degrees, and there's nothing even in the 50s anywhere close to that until 2006.
Stay inside. You eat. You watch football. You fall asleep. You eat again. You have a drink.
Yep.
That's it.
That's
and then
the
go
order
to the
gambling
boat. Yes, that's exactly what you do. The floating ATM. Demetrius, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much. Hold on to your hat, guys.
All right. Love to your wife. What a great guy. He's just
Demetrius.
The best. He's awesome. All right, let's go to Frank, who is right outside the airport. Frank, paint a picture for us. How's it look?
From Harlem Avenue to the airport is just under 20 minutes. We're slow going because of people picking up friends and family at the arrivals. If you can, pick up people at the departure level. What we're seeing now on 90 and the associated highways is going to be very similar to a Monday morning when we kick off the work week. And it's probably going to continue this way for the next 24 to 36 hours. So just treat it as, you know, the start of a work week with congestion and just take caution, especially with the weather and all the winds.
Frank, you sound like you're on the news.
A part-time traffic reporter here.
That's great. Lauren's like, get rid of this guy. Frank, hold on. We're going to set you up at the Lou Malnati's Thanksgiving Pizza. Let's go to Lucy. Lucy, where are you right now? Where are you driving?
Sure. I work at the new car rental facility, and as I was leaving, all the lights are out, and the police are just sitting in the car. So the traffic to exit the Conrad facility is a nightmare. And people have been flying in. They've been sick. They look like they're going to throw up in front of me, but they all made it in.
Okay.
Shocked me. But, yeah, so if Any advice, if people could take the bus and meet their loved ones at the new Kiss and Fly, that's also an option. But, yeah, it's horrendous leaving the car rental facility on the back roads of the airport.
Got it. Thank you, Lucy. Hold on. We'll set you up with the Lou's Pizza. Boy, these people calling in from the airport. I like this. We got Allison who's on the Stevenson right now. Where are you? Oh, we lost her. Okay. Let's go to Greg. Greg on 294. Greg, where are you on 294? Where are you driving?
Just got off the 290 from 294. It's flying.
Really?
All the way up to the construction.
So traffic is moving.
Oh, moving both directions. 294 southbound is a little slow, but it's in pockets.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Just a lot of out-of-towners. Just a car's in front of you. Two more seconds. Let it give them in. Let them take your time.
Take your time. Yeah, you know, got two cars in front of you. Greg, hold on.
No
happy
biggie.
Happy Thanksgiving. We'll say up at the Lou Malnati's Thanksgiving Pizza.
I like this text here real quick, Pete. We are thankful this year that we'll be in traffic so long that we will have to miss the Bears game.
Oh, gosh, wouldn't that be nice? I mean, it's
don't torture yourself.
It's a love-hate thing with the Bears on Thanksgiving Day because we just don't know what to expect. 312-981-7200. We have Chef Paul Guerrero coming in studio from the Cooking Skills Academy in Itasca at 3:35 after the bottom of the hour news. Paul's going to share a recipe. Also, if you have any last-minute cooking questions, we had a guy that called in last night that didn't know how long to thaw his turkey. I go, that would probably be the first thing that you would read before you'd make a turkey. Because he just pulled it out last night. I don't think it's going to be thawed out.
Not if it's
Tuesday
24
night.
Pounds.
Yeah, that's not good. So we'll ask Chef when he comes in. It's 720. Pete McMurray in for Roe. It's 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 if you have a question for the chef when he comes in. Also, it's a blind test for the best. Which pumpkin pie is the best? Costco Jewel or my homemade pie?
Monica, that was the best Thanksgiving dinner ever. It was so good. I think you killed us.
Couldn't possibly eat another bite.
I need something sweet.
Does anyone want to watch TV?
Yeah, sure.
Monica, your remote doesn't work.
TV, you have to lift it and point.
Oh. Oh, forget it.
Most of us need help in the kitchen, especially around Thanksgiving. That's why we brought in a pro, and he brought a recipe with him. Wow, I cannot wait to eat. Joining us in studio is the culinary director and managing partner of Cooking Skills Academy in Itasca. It only took him 6 hours to drive downtown. Chef Paul Guerrero. Chef, it's great to see you.
Thanks for having me in.
How long did it take?
It was about hour 40. I expected a little bit longer than that, right. So it was nice, yeah.
Wow, this stuffing recipe is off the charts fantastic.
Thank you, thank you.
It reminds me of growing up because my Aunt Diana used to make stuffing with pork every single year, and it was so good, and I'm like, where did you get this recipe? And she said, oh, it's an old family recipe. I think she just made it up.
Half the time. That's what our parents do, right?
So you partnered with the Illinois Pork Producers.
Correct.
And you came up with this recipe.
Yes, yes. So we're taking a lot of the loins and pork loins. We're trying to bring that to light and show people how to really use it in a healthier manner, quote unquote.
Right,
but
right.
We can still mix in a couple really tasty ingredients, butter and bacon and things like that. So
pork tenderloin is just off the charts. And you can do so much with it. You just throw it in a cast iron, finish it in the oven.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize. So when you go to the grocery store, there's two parts, right? There's the pork tenderloin, which is the smaller loin. And then there's actually the pork loin, which is that big honking piece of meat you might see.
Yeah.
Like if you go to Costco or something. And they cut that down into chops. So we're showing you how to use both cuts.
People overcook pork.
They do.
Yes, they do. I was just going to say, it is so hard to do pork well, unless you know how to cook.
How do you cook pork?
You know, so here's the key thing is a lot of people before they were scared, the reason they overcooked it was because of something called trichinosis, right? And so everybody wanted to eat their pork well done. But today you go to a restaurant, you're going to see them order it medium rare, medium, which is close to 145 degrees. Decades ago, you'd never see your grandma or your mom order it that way because they were scared of getting sick. But today, the way we feed our pigs, you can eat the pork loin medium, rare, medium.
You want it pink, right?
You want it pink.
A little bit of pink.
Yeah, so 145 is nice. The reason I say 145 is because after you take it out of the oven, what happens is it's going to continue to cook. It's called carryover cooking. So most people cook it all the way to well done and then think it's still going to be juicy. Don't. Cook it about halfway, let it rest. It's still cooking for a couple minutes.
Can you give us the ingredients in this pork stuffing?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So with this here, it's pork stuffing. If you want to do just straight pork stuffing without the pork loin, I recommend using some sort of bacon or even Italian sausage in the mix to give it that extra little bit of marbling and flavor in there. With this, we use
pork
loin.
So you're adding bacon with the pork loin?
Yes, exactly.
I love that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and inside. So you'll also notice a little secret ingredient here, Pete, is Bartlett pears.
I was going to say, I tasted something fruity. Yeah. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, so the Bartlett pears hold up really well when you bake, but it's the secret to keeping things moist because pork, even if it's... See, this has been sitting in my car, Pete, for like 4 hours on the drive
it
here.
It still tastes fantastic.
So the secret here is adding something else that you know will hold its moisture, like the pears. Because you're cooking, how many things do you cook on Thanksgiving? Like 10 different things?
Right.
So this you could let sit for a couple hours and it'll be okay.
And the sweet with the salty pork.
Exactly.
Because growing up, that was just a signature dish during the fall. Mom would do pork and applesauce on the side.
Right.
Always, right?
Exactly. Or that's why they have cranberry, because it's a little bit sweet. It adds to the pork. But with this, the Bartlett pears, and also just mixing in a little bit of Italian sausage in that mix also kept this nice and moist.
Of course. It's going to taste fantastic with all the ingredients.
There's an ingredient in here. There's a cheese in here. Can you guys grab the cheese? Did you guys taste it? There's a little secret there. I'll give it away. There's a feta crust on top of this.
Oh, I can taste it now.
Now you can taste the feta, right? So when have you seen feta at Thanksgiving?
Oh, my God, is that good.
Right?
Never.
Yeah, so what we did was we took a little bit of butter, grass-fed butter, right? Nowadays they say grass-fed butter is good for you. People put it in their coffee.
I don't know.
What I
could eat.
Yeah, I don't know. You read one article
who
it says
knew?
It's good. Who knew butter was good for you, right?
Right.
So you mix it with a little bit of panko breadcrumbs and just a touch of feta. Throw it on top. That's what the crust is. And you just broil it for a minute. Gives it nice color. And then it also, again, adds a little bit of that moisture.
How do you come up with this? Is it just hit and miss? You call up the Illinois pork producer and you say, guys, I'm thinking about doing this stuffing. You want a partner?
Yeah, you know what? It's like anything, right? It's making mistakes, messing up, trying it out, and also thinking of other recipes, right? So if there's, let's say, I kind of combine this with a really popular ribeye recipe that I have, right? So I said, okay, well, ribeye tastes good like this. Let me see if it works with pork. So I made a couple tweaks to make it more Thanksgiving.
It's so good.
Yeah, and you mess with it. You mess with it. So
I love that it's not really that salty at all. When I eat stuffing or pork separate, a lot of times it's way too salty because I have a pretty high salt tolerance, but you know, I don't taste really any salt in this.
In the restaurant, what we call that well-seasoned, right? So when, let's say a server comes back to the kitchen, right, they're always mad about something with the chef, like, hey, table 54, I said this is salty. Say,
people want to complain just to complain.
I say, hey, wait, this is well-seasoned. We call that well-seasoned.
It's not salty.
I think the thing here is we built layers, so we always wait to season it a little bit heavier, more towards the end. You know, when you look at a recipe, it usually says salt and pepper to taste at the end of the recipe.
Right.
Sometimes people get a little bit carried away and they start seasoning things in the beginning.
Gotcha.
Okay.
But as it cooks, it's going to reduce down, so it's going to get saltier. So you have to be careful.
Chef, I'm going to ask you the biggest mistake people make preparing Thanksgiving dinner, and we're also going to test out pumpkin pie. Okay? Chef Paul is here from CookingSkillsAcademy.com. But first, we need to take a look at weather and traffic. Lauren, what do you have? Pete McMurray in for Rokan. In studio with us is Chef Paul Guerrero from CookingSkillsAcademy.com. And we're going to have the pumpkin pie blind taste test in a second. But first, biggest mistake people make preparing Thanksgiving dinner.
I don't think that they plan ahead long enough to thaw that turkey. I think I heard a question earlier. How long does it take to thaw a
turkey? A guy called me last night.
Right.
It's like, I just bought a huge turkey. How long to thaw it out? I go, just put it outside right now or put it in your sink. Right? How long does it take?
A good rule of thumb, Pete, is you want to take it every 5 pounds is 24 hours. Okay? So for every 5 pounds of turkey that you have, 24 hours in your refrigerator, not at room temperature. Mm-hmm. Don't leave it out on your kitchen counter.
Really?
Throw it in your refrigerator.
Okay.
Yeah, that look in your eye says you leave it on your kitchen counter.
I remember my mom, maybe she was washing the turkey. I always remember her with the turkey in the sink.
Well, somebody texts in, you can also do a water thaw method that is quicker. Is that accurate or safe?
So I recommend against it just because if you're putting it in your sink and you have raw poultry, right?
Sinks are dirty. Sinks are nasty.
Come on. Yeah, we have an immune system.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I don't know if I trust everybody, you know, to sanitize the sink down. So that's why I say the safest way, and you don't have to think about it, is for every 5 pounds of turkey that you have, 24 hours in the refrigerator. If you need to do it in a rush, yeah, throw it in the sink under cold water. Don't run it under hot water. The outside of that thing will turn gray, and it'll be thawed out in the center still.
There are some people right now panicking, looking at their watch, doing the math. Oh my God. Wait a minute, what? Oh my God. I thought this completely wrong.
What is going on here? Yeah. All right, you cook for a living. That's your job.
That's correct, yeah.
Do you cook for fun? Are you going to cook tomorrow?
I do. You know what's nice? So my wife's family, her mom, is an absolutely amazing cook. And she does a lot of the cooking. I'll do a handful of dishes for them, you know, just to whip it together. It doesn't take me very long, so I don't mind doing that part, doing some of the sides, showing the turkey. I actually break my turkey down. I don't cook the whole thing.
See, I've heard about that. People cut the legs off and cook them separately because they're obviously going to be cooked at different time, right?
Right.
The breast and the leg.
I mean, we usually do it for the photo, right? So we're cooking the whole turkey for the photo. Okay?
Right.
I think I have enough whole turkey photos in my phone to go with the 40,000 other photos
you
that are on my phone.
Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. So I would prefer to have a really tasty turkey instead of that one moment of that photo. So I like to break mine down, cook it properly, brine it, take my time, and make sure that each part cooks properly.
Do you shove butter under the skin?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Everybody, you have to do that.
Yeah. How much do you put on there?
Ooh, that's all relative.
All
you know?
Of it.
Yeah, it depends. You know, if you saw me with
grass-fed butter, right?
Grass-fed butter. You need, spend the extra money.
It's good for you.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I definitely spread butter under it. So
do you have
some salt?
Do you have a family recipe, like a family tradition that you do on Thanksgiving? Like my mother makes, and I'm not kidding when I say this, pickled turnips with beets. It's like an appetizer. And we've had it forever. It's like a family thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you eat it every Thanksgiving or?
I shy away from it, but my brothers love it. I mean, people love it in the family.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not for us. No, no real tradition. Just the usual, you know, turkey and, you know, the usual sides. We might mix it up, but yeah, I don't really cook at home. That's the ironic part, right? You're doing it all day long. So the last thing, my wife actually gets really mad. I don't cook it.
All right. Can we talk dessert?
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's do it.
Everybody has three pumpkin pies in front of them. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a blind test for the best. Which pumpkin pie is the best? Number one, two, or three? Now, one is from Costco, one is from Jewel, and one I made on Monday night. It's been sitting in my refrigerator. So everybody try number one. Okay?
Certainly tastes like pumpkin pie.
They all look pretty uniform. They all look pretty similar here.
Knowing pumpkin pie, I know what number one is. Okay? Get a little piece of the crust. All right. Everybody ready to go number two?
Yep. Okay.
What is it with pumpkin pie? It's just so good.
I'm a big fan.
Love the creaminess, textures.
You like it with or without whipped cream?
Oh, I brought the whipped cream. It's in the fridge. I forgot to bring it in the studio.
I like it without whipped cream.
I'm all about the Cool Whip specifically.
All right, number three. Okay?
Nothing like listening to people chew on food
right?
into the radio.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So a little number cinnamon
three,
in there.
Yeah. Number three, I noticed, had a lighter shade than the other two.
All right.
Definitely has a more unique cinnamon flavor or nutmeg, almost something.
Right.
Something along those lines.
Yep. Okay.
I think I like that one the best.
You like number three?
Yeah.
Chef?
Yeah, number three, I got a lot of cinnamon.
Yeah.
I don't know if for me personally, I'm a big fan of a super overpowering flavor here.
Okay.
I don't know if because it was the first bite, but I like number one.
You like number one?
I like number one. Number two, look. Maybe a little homemade, but I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe that could be you. Maybe two could be you.
I'm going with one because it's the least sweet of the three, and I don't. That's why I like pie because I'm not a big cake guy because it's just a brick of sugar. For me, I like the pie because the crust, and you can get a little more, whatever it may be, a cherry pie tartness. So I'm going one.
You went one.
I agree with Kat. I'm going.
You
one.
Went one.
Yeah.
You went three. Okay. Number one is Costco.
Really?
Oh. Here we go.
The greatest pumpkin pie on the planet.
Yes. You do a nice pie.
Yes. It's $5.99 for a pumpkin pie that is the size of the wheel on your car.
Yes. Yes.
Why wouldn't you not get it?
Yeah, it's a great employee gift, too. I was at Costco yesterday, and there was a lady who literally had the 4x4 rack pulled up to her truck outside, and she was loading about
that's a great idea.
Pumpkin pies.
Yeah.
All right. Number three is my homemade pie.
Wow, I love it.
Uh-huh.
I guess I can kind of tell now that I look at the crust. It's very decorative.
Yeah.
Whereas the other ones are kind of that basic, just curve. Yours has a little bit more detail in there.
You put ginger in yours, Pete?
I put a little bit of ginger.
Okay.
Very good.
Ginger.
Yeah.
I get that. I get that in there.
And number two is Jewel.
Oh, yeah. No love for Jewel today.
Yeah, no. Hey, wait a second.
They're all good.
I mean, they're all great.
They are good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. I mean, I love baking is easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is with kids, but my son Charlie was there. He's like, Dad, let me help you a little bit. It's fun. It's like a family thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Do you good. Have any? I'm going to my parents tomorrow. I wasn't planning on making anything. I was probably just going to bring beer. But do you have any last minute, if I do feel ambitious, I don't really know when I'm going to have time for this because it's Black Wednesday and then the Bears play tomorrow. But if I do find time, what would be a quick, easy recipe?
Oh, I got one for you.
Okay.
And it's a hit.
Okay.
Everybody texts me the same thing. Hey, Paul.
hey,
is there I sounded Italian.
Now I have you on speed now, which is
great.
Yeah,
that's great.
That.
Yeah, text me. They say, hey, I need, my sister actually just texted me 2 days ago about it. I need a last minute recipe, but I don't have a lot of time. So here it is, everyone. It is a 4-cheese mac and cheese.
Oh.
Okay. Now the secret is 4-cheese. Just go and buy the 4-cheese blend, whatever it is at the grocery store, right? Okay. If you want, you could buy like 3-cheese blend and then get like a fancier cheese to put over the top, like a Parmesan or something. Or feta, like the feta we had today is nice because it's mild, but it has a little bit of bite.
Yeah.
The recipe is really simple. So 1-pound box. I like to do rigatoni just because it's different. Everybody expects shells.
Because you got
to
show off.
Yeah, you got to show off.
You're the chef.
Yeah, so if you use shells or something, they might expect macaroni.
Yeah,
it looks like you bought it at the store, right? But if you use rigatoni or like a penne rigate, rigate is the one with the lines in it, not just the plain flat penne. 1 pound of pasta, right?
Okay.
1 quart of heavy cream. Okay. Has to be heavy cream. Not milk, not half and half. Has to be heavy cream.
Can we substitute that for a guy like me and like to watch my figure so I can drink
beer? It's Thanksgiving.
Guys, we're drinking beer here. Everything's a numbers game. Why are you on me?
Yeah, then stay away from the Mac. That's going to hurt. Yeah, you need the heavy cream. You need it. You need the fat in that. Sorry, Pete. Sorry. So 1 pound of pasta. They usually sell it in a box, right?
Yeah.
1 quart of heavy cream.
Yep.
The cheese is really a matter of preference, but for the most part, you know, a pound of heavy cheese sounds like a lot. And all you have to do is heat up your heavy cream, throw all the cheese in there, shredded cheese, right? It has to be the bag of shredded. Mix it till it makes like a nice thick sauce, and then just put your pasta that's about 70% cooked. Mix it all together, throw it in a casserole dish. It's going to carry over cook. By the time you get to the person's house, it'll be ready. Your pasta should still be a little bit al dente. That's it. It's literally 3 ingredients.
Do you own a casserole dish, Kevin?
I do. I have multiple casserole dishes.
I have two. You can borrow one from me.
I love cooking.
Got it for when I got married. Chef, you're the best.
Oh, no, thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. Chef Paul Guerrero, you can go to cookingskillsacademy.com and tell the Illinois pork producers we love the pork stuffing. It's good stuff.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, quick break, and we'll check news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on 720 WGN. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Billy Bush, the host of Extra, and I need to check in with my mother, who's been cooking for about 25 days. She puts the McMurray menu together. She'll sit down and write everything out that she's going to make, and then she prepares for the entire month, and this is her Super Bowl right now.
Does anyone help her?
Of course. Right.
Pizza,
I mean, I'm not there
family.
This year to, you know, bring in the pumpkin pie from Costco and 2 cases of water and beer, which I usually do.
Every contribution helps.
Right. Definitely. But when I show up at someone's house, by the way, a great idea, case of beer. I'm sorry, case of water. Everybody needs water.
Yeah. What is that? There's never any water.
There's never enough
water. But then
water.
There's always half-drinking water at bottles
That's true.
Laying around the house after every single party.
People need water.
I know. You're right, though. It's a good
You're
move.
Ruining the environment with this bottled water.
No, well,
it's great to give people when they're driving home, too.
Yes.
Just to keep
good
that
call.
In mind.
Right. You got to have a water bottle in your car.
You know what Matthew McConaughey does for his parties? When people walk in, he has somebody serving them a tequila shot to loosen everybody up as they enter the home.
So I need to bring tequila?
Just stand at your mother's door with a platter of tequila shots for your family.
Wow. All right. Let's check news.
Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in Faroe. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Today is the busiest bar night of the year. It's also Blackout Wednesday. We have Black Friday coming up. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day. Can you guys go somewhere and not post a picture?
Yes.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that can't.
I know.
Like, people are going out tonight. This is when you see your old high school friends or college friends that you haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
Kev, you're shaking your head.
Well, like, no, it's just funny because I was out last night, and all of these, because this is to your point, bars are doing more and more pop-up stuff or theme stuff.
Yeah.
whatever makes it more Instagrammable.
Mm-hmm.
Like last night I went to a bar, and instead of just having regular Christmas decorations, they did like a tiki bar Christmas situation.
Oh, like a Hawaiian Kaliki Makaula,
right, that song is. But Christmas vibes. Place was packed.
Okay.
A lot of girls doing the Instagram situation.
Of course.
And I'm like, see, that works. If you make your, if you make it Instagrammable, people will come.
People spend a lot of time cropping and fixing their pictures so they can post at a bar. Yeah. They're really not in the moment.
Yeah.
But the original Instagram bar in Chicago would be Butch McGuire's with all the decorations and the train overhead.
Point. Yeah.
We have Bobby McGuire coming in at 6:05. He's going to make you guys some drinks.
Yes. All right.
Huh? You missing row now? I'm bringing the food and I'm bringing the alcohol.
Starting Black Wednesday early.
But police are telling people to wait to post photos until you get back because robbers check social media.
Right.
Oh, they're out of town. They're in Mexico.
Well, we see that with a lot of pro athletes now.
Right.
You know, they'll post stuff and someone's like, oh, the $1 million mansion's vacant right now.
You can't post. You just can't do it. Can you wait? People can't wait. They can't sit on a picture for a day or 2 days.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I
don't have that drive.
I think we took one picture last night. I don't even know who has it. No, that's fine with me.
I was thinking maybe the three of us could take a picture and I could post it before 4:30.
Can you hang on?
I don't know.
Wow. I don't know. That's 20
chomping
minutes.
At the bit. It's rough stuff. Here's something for you. The TSA has sent a list of food items you can carry on your flight.
Okay. I also have thoughts on this.
Can you carry on a pie? Yes or no?
Yes.
No,
because you can hide stuff in it.
What's your answer?
I'm going to go no.
I'll go no.
You can absolutely carry on a pie.
Oh, that's nice. Did you see a guy brought a pumpkin pie into the Bears game on Sunday?
How did he do that?
And whipped cream.
And when the whipped cream part. The whipped cream part is more alarming because like that could be something.
That is a metal canister.
I know.
So how did he get it in?
I don't know.
To Soldier Field.
But it's a great idea. The guy was in the front row. He just had himself a pie for the game.
But do you really want to eat a pie at Soldier Field?
Sure, I guess. During Thanksgiving season.
What drink goes with pie?
All of it. Everything.
I don't know. Some flavors. I'm an IPA drinker. I don't know if pumpkin pie flavor and IPA go very well together.
Can you carry on gravy?
No, it's a liquid.
Correct.
Yes.
Cranberry sauce.
Depends on how you transport
cranberry
it.
Sauce.
I think it would depend on how
yes
thick it
or
is.
No. Can you carry it on a flight, according to the TSA?
Well, like a can?
Right, that's the thing. How are you transporting it?
I would say no.
If it's a can, no. If it's in a little container, maybe.
Absolutely not.
Okay,
by the way, people bringing food onto planes, like people that go to the food court and get a bag of fried chicken and then bring it onto the plane, that should not be allowed.
I completely disagree. What about a sandwich? Can I bring a sandwich on a flight?
As long as it doesn't smell.
I'm talking about like heated food, like a bag of McDonald's.
Slice of pizza.
Nah.
You can't bring pizza?
Nah.
See, at least that smells good, but there are just certain levels.
It doesn't matter what you bring me.
If I'm on a flight over 2 hours, I get super nervous that I'm going to starve to death.
Well, yeah, throw a sandwich in the bag. But if every plane has a certain scent to it, and the steaming hot bag of food you bring on does not blend well with it, and everybody suffers for it. And then you got to listen to the person behind you chewing, which is always disgusting.
You got the bare feet, the McNuggets.
I hate hearing people chew.
Oh,
we just did
worst.
It about a half hour ago.
I know.
Can you carry on a casserole on a flight?
No.
No, based on the dish.
Absolutely yes. Wow, according to the TSA, you can bring a casserole.
Wait, so people are making dishes and then going to the airport?
Yes.
I guess.
You're going to see mom. I got a secret family recipe or your in-laws or
it's
something.
It's like a short hour flight, whatever.
How about wine? Can you carry on wine?
No. Liquid again.
Mm, Kev?
No.
But what if it's sealed?
You have to put it in your bag. If you're checking your bag, you cannot
carry on wine. How about jam? Can you carry on jam according to the TSA?
I'm going to say no. Too liquidy.
No.
Nope. That's correct. Stuffing mix.
Ooh, that's a trickier one. I think yes.
Stuffing mix.
I'm going to go no.
Is a yes.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank God. Good to know. I was planning on.
I mean, have you ever brought food from someplace?
No.
My mother has. She made baklava and took it to New York.
Wow.
Nice.
And she had, she did something. I think she had to clear it ahead of time.
You know what? My mom did put Polish sausage in her bag, one to bring in her carry-on bag once to bring it to my brother down in Georgia.
Hey,
you can't get good Polish
I'm
down
from
there.
Chicago. Let me bring on the Polish. I was like, nice.
A giant leek of kielbasa in her bag in the morning.
Is that a kielbasa in your bag? Yeah. Or are you just happy to be flying? All right. Let's take a look at traffic. Lauren, what do we have?
Put one foot in front of the other. And soon you'll be walking across the floor.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in Faro. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Today is the busiest bar night of the year. It's also Blackout Wednesday. We have Black Friday coming up. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day. Can you guys go somewhere and not post a picture?
Yes.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that can't.
I know.
Like, people are going out tonight. This is when you see your old high school friends or college friends that you haven't seen in a while. Yeah. Kev, you're shaking your head.
It's well, like, no, this is funny because I was out last night, and all of these, because this is to your point, bars are doing more and more pop-up stuff or theme stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever makes it more Instagrammable. Mm-hmm. Like, last night I went to a bar, and instead of just having regular Christmas decorations, they did, like, a tiki bar Christmas situation.
Oh, like a Hawaiian Kaliki Maka.
Right,
that song
is. But Christmas vibes. Place is packed.
Okay.
A lot of girls doing the Instagram situation.
Of course.
And I'm like, see, that works. If you make it Instagrammable, people will come.
People spend a lot of time cropping and fixing their pictures so they can post at a bar. Yeah. They're really not in the moment.
Yeah.
But the original Instagram bar in Chicago would be Butch McGuire's with all the decorations and the train overhead.
Point. Yeah.
We have Bobby McGuire coming in at 6:05. He's going to make you guys some drinks.
Yes. All right.
Huh? You missed in row now. I'm bringing the food and I'm bringing the alcohol.
Starting Black Wednesday early.
But police are telling people to wait to post photos until you get back because robbers check social media.
Right.
Oh, they're out of town. They're in Mexico.
Well, we see that with a lot of pro athletes now.
Right.
You know, they'll post stuff and someone's like, oh, the $1 million mansion's vacant right now.
You can't post. You just can't do it. Can you wait? People can't wait. They can't sit on a picture for a day or 2 days.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I
don't have that drive.
I think we took one picture last night. I don't even know who has it. No, that's fine with me.
I was thinking maybe the three of us could take a picture and I could post it before 4:30.
Can you hang on?
I don't know.
Wow. I don't know. That's 20
chomping
minutes.
At the bit. It's rough stuff. Here's something for you. The TSA has sent a list of food items you can carry on your flight.
Okay. I also have thoughts on this.
Can you carry on a pie? Yes or no?
Yes.
No,
because you can hide stuff in it.
What's your answer?
I'm going to go no.
I'll go no.
You can absolutely carry on a pie.
Oh, that's nice. Did you see a guy brought a pumpkin pie into the Bears game on Sunday?
How did he do that?
And whipped cream.
And when the whipped cream part. The whipped cream part is more alarming because like that could be something.
That is a metal canister.
I know.
So how did he get it in?
I don't know.
To Soldier Field.
But it's a great idea. The guy was in the front row. He just had himself a pie for the game.
But do you really want to eat a pie at Soldier Field?
Sure, I guess. During Thanksgiving season.
What drink goes with pie?
All of it. Everything.
I don't know. Some flavors might. Like, I'm an IPA drinker. I don't know if pumpkin pie flavor and IPA go very well together.
Can you carry on gravy?
No, it's a liquid.
Correct.
Yes.
Cranberry sauce.
Depends on how you transport
cranberry
it.
Cranberry sauce.
I think it would depend on how
yes
thick it
or
is.
No. Can you carry it on a flight, according to the TSA?
Well, like a can?
Right, that's the thing. How are you transporting it?
I would say no.
If it's a can, no. If it's in a little container, maybe.
Absolutely not. Okay,
By the way, people bringing food onto planes, like people that go to the food court and get a bag of fried chicken and then bring it onto the plane, that should not be allowed.
I completely disagree.
It does not blend well with the...
disagree.
It doesn't
what about a sandwich? Can I bring a sandwich on a flight?
Sure, as long as it doesn't smell.
I'm talking about like heated food, like a bag of McDonald's.
Slice of pizza.
Nah.
You can't bring pizza?
Nah.
See, at least that smells good, but there are just certain
levels. It doesn't matter what you bring.
If I'm on a flight over 2 hours, I get super nervous that I'm going to starve to death.
Well, yeah, throw a sandwich in the bag. But if every plane has a certain scent to it, and the steaming hot bag of food you bring on does not blend well with it, and everybody suffers for it. And then you got to listen to the person behind you chewing, which is always disgusting.
You got the bare feet, the McNuggets.
Oh, God.
I hate hearing people chew.
Oh,
we just did
worst.
It about a half hour ago.
I know.
Can you carry on a casserole on a flight?
No.
No, based on the dish.
Absolutely, yes. Wow, according really? To the TSA, you can bring a casserole.
Wait, so people are making dishes and then going to the airport?
Yes.
I guess. Guess.
You're going to see mom. I got a secret family recipe or your in-laws or
it's
something.
It's like a short hour flight, whatever.
How about wine? Can you carry on wine?
No. Liquid again.
Kev?
No.
But what if it's sealed?
You have to put it in your bag. If you're checking your bag.
You cannot carry on wine. How about jam? Can you carry on jam according to the TSA?
I'm going to say no. Too liquidy.
No.
Nope. That's correct. Stuffing mix.
Ooh, that's a trickier one. I think yes.
Stuffing mix.
I'm going to go no.
Is a yes.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank God. Good to know. I was planning on.
I mean, have you ever brought food from someplace?
No.
My mother has. She made baklava and took it to New York.
Wow.
Nice.
And she did something. I think she had to clear it ahead of time.
You know what? My mom did put Polish sausage in her bag, one to bring in her carry-on bag once to bring it to my brother down in Georgia.
Hey,
you can't get good Polish
I'm
down there.
I'm from Chicago. Let me bring on the Polish.
Nice. A giant leek of kielbasa in her bag in the morning.
Is that a kielbasa in your bag? Yeah. Or are you just happy to be flying? All right. Let's take a look at traffic. Lauren, what do we have? Weekdays and weeknights on Fox Chicago, you can check out Extra. Let's welcome in the host of Extra. It is our old friend, Billy Bush. How are you, man?
Hello, Peter.
Busiest bar night of the year. You got plans tonight?
Oh, gosh. It's a great night for drinking, isn't it? It's the night before Thanksgiving. Years and years, we went to Park City, Utah, and would get together with all of our mountain pals, and we would go down and hit the bars on Main Street and just have a good old time before Thanksgiving. It's good. Because you're not going to eat till later in the day. And it's a nice thing.
You can be hungover.
Glad you asked.
What's Billy Bush drinking on a Black Wednesday?
Tonight, maybe a little Michter's American. Maybe American Harvest vodka. One of the great vodkas of all time.
Really?
I didn't know. Harvest vodka?
Yeah, well, you know what?
We were just having a conversation about that before
water
we had
from the Snake River.
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah, the water comes right from the Snake River. Uh-huh. Beautiful organic vodka. Yeah.
Right. Kevin just mentioned that off the air, and I said, yes, I think Billy is an investor in that company.
I might be the owner. Yeah,
he is the owner.
I might be shamelessly plugging American Harvest Vodka.
Oh, that's nice. Is it hard for... I know it's L.A., but...
Listen, Pete, I had to do something for the last few years, so starting a vodka, I said, I'm drinking so much of this stuff, I might as well, make a business out of it or something.
Yes, invest in it. That's nice.
You know what I'm saying?
By the way, you gave a guy a hug this week on TV that could be the most hated man on television. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Sean Spicer.
People despise him. You had him on Extra, and you gave him a big hug.
Half the people despise him.
I know. Right. Half the people.
It's half the people and everything. Listen, Sean went out there and danced his way. I could care less about Sean Spicer and the politics of it all. He's a guy who's a lousy dancer who put himself... I told him, you're terrible, Sean. You're not bad. You're terrible. And put him out there on the dance floor. And I thought he was pretty courageous out there. And, we forgive. He's moved on. So, I gave him a hug. He needed one.
They love the story like that.
But I've given you a hug. A lot of people don't like you. And I gave you a hug.
By the way,
remember that hug I gave you?
Yes, that one time or that one, two, three time. Yes. Yes, you did. By the way, we missed each other in New York last week. You were there interviewing who?
I was in and out. I interviewed, oh, God, now you're going to paint me as the worst Republican ever. Sean Hannity.
Oh, that's right.
I interviewed. But listen, I'm open to Hannity. I'm open to Maddow. I'm open to everybody in the world. I don't care who they are. I'm happy to interview anybody. So I was in New York doing that, but mostly I was a guest on the Wendy Williams show.
How is Wendy Williams? Wendy. I do watch that from time to time.
She goes there. Wendy just goes there, and but she's been a great supporter of mine for the last many years. So whatever Wendy wants to do, you do. That's the way I feel. So I had a great time with her.
We're talking with Billy Bush, the host of Extra. By the way, your show on twice on Fox. It's on in the afternoon, then again in.
Are any of it during daytime? Is anyone in the? It's like 1 o'clock in the morning in Chicago. Pete, you know everybody there. Can we get a little upgrade?
Matt Piacente, yes. I think I've mentioned it to him over at Fox. because they're a day late on your show in the afternoon, but they air it at night.
Yeah, well, I'd like to be on, you know, around the evening hours. Can we do that, Pete? Can you talk to somebody in Chicago? It's an important market, number three in the United States.
Kev, you got a guy over there?
You got the guy. You had some time over there.
I know a few people in the sports department. I was just on Sunday night. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I'll work on it.
Can you do something about that? Karen can definitely do something about it. Karen knows everybody, and she'll take care of it. Karen, is that right?
You mean Lauren?
Karen is my
Lauren, Kevin, and Pete. Yes.
Can I tell you something? You have a lousy intern. Whoever your intern is lousy. He said Karen.
Billy, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm going to eat some turkey. I'm going to try turkey.
Billy, we argue about everything now on social media, and this year it's been about what's good. What, like, on the menu for Thanksgiving, people have been debating quite a bit on social media about what's good, what you should bring to Thanksgiving, what you shouldn't. What's your favorite side dish? What does Billy Bush look forward to?
I got to say, it's carbo loading. So I got it. The twice baked potato is a beautiful thing. I go right for that with the cheese on top. Oh. I don't like vegetables a lot, but I will have string beans, so I'll tolerate those. Anything orange that calls itself a potato, no chance. Not for me. You can put a marshmallow on top of it to make it cute, but not for me. Not doing it.
Do you cook, Billy?
Do I cook? No. Not well, and everybody knows that. But I do the dishes. It's my contribution.
And you can just bring some American Harvest vodka to the party as well.
Of course.
Absolutely. By the way, everybody loves the guy that does the dishes. No, everyone's looking at that giant pile, and I go right in there and attack, and you're always welcome back.
It's a hero move.
How about the stuffing?
Yeah, it's a hero move. Big move.
How about the stuffing in the turkey? I mean, people talk about stuffing, but the stuffing that's in the turkey is the best.
Well, for 21 years, I was married to a woman from the South, from Mississippi. They don't call it stuffing, so I've always
dressing
because she's the quarterback. Yeah, it's dressing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So she's the quarterback on Thanksgiving and a brilliant cook, and we'll be cooking tomorrow because we get along great and we're with our kids and everybody together. And it's dressing. I grew up stuffing.
Right.
But. And I grew up heavy, heavy stuffing, thick and just almost like loaves of bread in every bite.
Right.
Hers is very light and easy and palatable. And no, that's a big move right there. A lighter dressing is the way to go.
My mother makes stuffing with white bread. So just imagine how that expands in your gut, especially if you're drinking beer. All day.
Wonder Bread. Wonder Bread, beer, stuffy, I know.
Right.
Stuff. In L.A., it's like there's like kale and turkey, no gravy.
That's why I never moved there. Never happened.
No. Thank God we have a Mississippi woman at the helm here in Los Angeles, my friends.
So then what's the go-to pie? Are you a pumpkin person, pecan or pecan, depending on how you want to word it?
I love a pumpkin pie. I really do, and only on that day. There won't be another day of the year I eat it, but I really like it. I got to watch out. I'm more of a calories in the glass guy, you know?
Smart. Drink your dinner.
Everything's a numbers game. Yes, definitely
so. You can't participate in everything.
Billy Bush, check him out on Extra weekdays on Fox and weeknights on Fox. Happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Lauren, Pete. And Larry.
Close enough.
All right, you're the best. Quick break and we'll check news. It's 720 WGN. Even though we had that stuffing last hour, how do you guys feel?
I'm stuffed.
Phenomenal.
Well, you had like four plates. I'm not going to, somebody went out last night. Needed to fill up on some food. You know what I'm saying?
It was a pre...
I mean, you may have been eating like you were going to the electric chair. I'm just saying.
He was practicing yesterday for Black Wednesday, right. And today he's practicing for tomorrow.
Why is today called... I've never heard it called Black Wednesday.
Blackout Wednesday.
Yeah, I think just for Blackout Wednesday.
Blackout Wednesday?
I just call it Black Wednesday. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody going out tonight? Are we all going out?
Yeah.
Lauren's like, I'm not going out with you. I barely know you.
There's no high school friends going back to Orland Park anymore because everyone's just old.
Really?
That's what I seem
over
to
and
notice.
Out.
My friends still, we're like 30 and they all still act like we're in college. So it's like when we go out, I'm like, it's like, oh boy, okay.
That's how guys are.
Yeah, maybe this is a guy thing. I don't know. I got to go to my buddy's out in the burbs. He got a new place, so he's having people over, and then who knows what happens.
I'm sad I'm not going to Peoria, because this is when you see the people that you went to high school with, you know, the one time a year. Why are you smiling? I love it.
I almost took a shot at Peoria, but...
What, you don't like P-Town?
I like
4 o'clock bars?
I like, yeah,
we all meet at Jimmy's bar, and, you know, you just kind of hang out and talk.
There's plenty to do in Peoria.
We have a gambling boat.
That's the only time I've been to Peoria is when I was at ISU, Fear the Bird. We would go there every once in a while and just go to the boat. And it was fun. It was a good time. That's all I've seen of Peoria.
That's it?
That's it.
You didn't go to any of the bars?
We went to the boat, and then we leave.
I mean, it's a medium-sized town. It's fine. But
it's anything negative.
Right. For one of the holidays, it's a good time.
Yeah. So you're going out, though, right?
I'm going out tonight, yeah, from here.
You still a big partier?
Yes. What does that mean? Here's what happens when you get older and you become a dad.
Yeah.
You shift your time. So when you're your age, right now, single, you go out at 9, 10 o'clock at night, and you stay out till 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
When you're a dad... You go out 4 in the afternoon, and you're in bed by 9:30.
That's how my brother is.
Yeah.
He's like 34, 35, and he's got 3 kids now. He goes to bed at like 9:30.
Yeah.
But he starts at like 5.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'd like to start at 4, though. I like to get... Because people show up at the bar at 5, so if you're there at
That's
4...
That's a good call. Get the bar spot.
Yes.
Nothing worse than like not having nowhere to sit.
I mean, we're going to Butch McGuire's after the show. There are guys that are going there at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, and go during happy hour.
Some will be gone when I get there at 7:15, 7:30.
It's the way to do it before it gets crowded.
Mm-hmm. I went to a bar last Tuesday. It was just like a post-talks game bar night with some friends. And we didn't even... This place turned into like a full-blown club at like 10:30, 11. Yeah, it was Tuesday.
They moved
night.
The tables out.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, like, the Sparker girls are running out, like, bottles are being popped. But it was great, because we were there, like, early, you know, like, 10 o'clock, but we had all the spots at the bar, so we were, like, right in the middle of the party. It was crazy. I'm like, because it's industry night, you know? So, like, Mondays and Tuesdays, you can always find really good deals at bars, because all the everybody's off, they're not working.
And those people love to drink.
And they love to drink, and they know all the deals.
Even though they do it for a living, they love to do it in their off time.
Yeah, that was a wild night.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. That's good stuff. But, yes, I'll be going out at 7. Bobby McGuire's coming in at 6. I told him, just stick around till 7, and I'll hop an Uber and just head over to Division.
Nice.
You're more than welcome.
I know. I'm tempted.
Got a long drive back.
The Christmas in your mouth shots.
Oh.
Which he's bringing in to the studio.
Very exciting.
This will be great.
This will be great. He's got a smirk on his
face. I'm like already trying to wonder what is made in a shot like that.
You'll find out at 6:05. Time for news. Annual tradition like no other. Join WGN Morning News. Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, and Sarah Jindra for Chicago's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Tomorrow morning, starting at 8 on WGN-TV, and Ponce joins us at 6:35. I sent Dan a text. What's today, Wednesday? I sent him a text on Monday. I'm like, Dan, we'll have you on to plug the parade. You got to call me at 6. I'll never remember. I go, just put it in your calendar.
Yeah.
No, I can't do that. Can't do it. Just call me. Remind me. Yeah. TV people are nuts. Have you guys noticed that? Lauren, I know you used to be one.
I'm a little, indifferent there.
Right.
In what way? What do you mean?
A little crazy. They don't live in the world that we live in.
Well, you kind of have to be, though, because one, especially news, it's so depressing and so much stuff is going on out there that you kind of have to be somewhat numb, but yet still part of it, because otherwise you're not doing justice to the news or telling someone's story. Also, you get a lot of criticism, so you have to have some thick
people
skin.
People are judging all the time.
Yes.
There's some crazy people in radio, too, Pete.
Oh, yeah. We're the bottom rung of the entertainment ladder.
Yeah.
I mean, the very bottom. Seriously. Yeah, especially in this town.
Way to sell it.
What time do you guys eat dinner tomorrow?
I don't... I was just going to text my mom what time I should be over. I'm guessing like a 4:30-ish.
Yeah, 4:35, probably.
Yeah.
We're a solid 2 in the afternoon.
What?
That's
what lunch.
What? 2 in the afternoon is perfect.
That's lunch. What are you going to do for the other 10 hours?
But that is the beauty, though, with Thanksgiving is, like, even once you're done with your initial plate, like, that's just round one. You know what I mean? If not even round one. It's like a never-ending stream of eating.
Really? I'm full till, like, the evening
it's
next
non-stop.
Day.
It's non-stop. It's non-stop. So you eat at 2, you get full, watch a little football, fall asleep, wake up, eat again.
Oh, see, we do a bunch of appetizers, have a bunch of plates out around the table while watching football and drinking to kind of warm up.
Yeah, I like that because tomorrow's a lot. I'm not leaving my house to get to my parents until after the Bears game.
Yeah.
So 11:30, game's probably over by 2:30, and then I'm heading right to my parents. Then
the number one time to eat.
I'm going
to
go 5.
Between 4 and 5.
Well, yeah. Well, look at that.
Not too early, not too late. The anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, between 2 and 3. Number 3, between 3 and 4.
Nobody's eating Thanksgiving dinner like 7, right?
Nobody's eating at 7, and no one's eating before noon.
I do wonder why. Why is it that this meal, you just have to eat earlier than everything else?
I don't know. You just eat mid-afternoon. That's how it's always been in our house.
Yeah, but why?
And I think it's because people don't want to wait. Everybody's so pumped for the meal. It's like, let's get it going.
But the preparation, too. Think about it. If everybody shows up at noon, it'll take 2 hours to get everything together.
Do you guys do a bit like a breakfast meal or anything like that? Something small. Make sure you don't overeat.
Mimosa.
We would do like Polish sausage and eggs quite a bit.
I've noticed that there's a theme.
Well, Polish, Pete. That's always kind of around for the holidays. I'm Polish, but like not the extent of like me being Polish is just eating Polish food on the holidays.
Okay, got it.
I couldn't speak a single word of Polish to you, but I know that kielbasa and pierogies will be around. During the holidays.
Well, see, we
and
have a meatless Christmas Eve.
A meatless Christmas Eve? Who came up with that?
Well, a lot of people do that. Seafood, yeah. You're talking about? Do you guys
pierogies, and you know, we'll have, some meatless lasagnas, but a lot of seafood, things like that. It's kind of a mixture. And then we have what do they call it? It's kind of a tradition for religious purposes. You break off the, you know what I'm talking about?
Like, I have no idea.
It's almost like what they give at Catholic Church.
It's like a host?
Yeah, like a host, and you have your own, and then you go to other people, and you break off a small piece of theirs, break off a small piece of yours, you say Merry Christmas, give them a kiss, and you just do that throughout the whole party.
Really?
Yeah, my mom walks around with the holy bread, and breaks it off.
The holy bread.
One of my parentals will Communion. Text me the name of it.
Wow.
On Christmas.
This is getting serious here.
Well, I'm also Polish, so that's what made me think of like the tradition.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like
some
I need
of them
to
kind of the same here.
Well, I feel like I need to come back with a religious thing, but my dad used to make eggnog, and everybody would come over in the neighborhood, and we'd get hammered.
That's awesome,
right?
I don't like booze and eggnog. I just like straight eggnog.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, you got to put the brandy in there.
Yes, you got to put the brandy or the bourbon or
something. Maybe I just haven't had a good batch of boozed up eggnog.
I will make you one. Okay? Right. I will make you one.
Yeah, because you've talked about how you know how to make it.
You got to water it down a bit so it's not super thick.
Well,
and then
it's like,
you put some whipped cream on it, a little bit of nutmeg.
I started drinking eggnog as a kid, so then you don't want to change. Like, it's like mixing a certain pop you enjoy drinking with a liquor. It almost kind of ruins it, you know?
That's fair.
But eggnog is an acquired taste. Either you love it or hate it.
Plaki, sorry.
What is it?
Plaki is the host.
The plaki?
Yeah, plaki.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Okay. Right. I'll get you the... when you bring in the eggnog with the booze, I'd like to come back for that show.
Oh, please do.
If you don't
please
mind.
Do.
Ro can take that day off. All right. Coming up, I'm going to check in with my mother. But first, let's check weather and traffic. Lauren?
What's this? A piece of toast? A pretzel stick? Popcorn? What blockhead cooked all this?
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Let's bring in the woman that brought me into this world, and she can take me out. It's Betty Ann McMurray, my mother. Mom, it's your favorite child. How are you?
You are one of my favorites. That's right, honey. I'm fine. How are you?
What are we working on today?
Well, right now I'm cutting up celery and onions for the dressing.
For the dressing. And I want to explain to people how the McMurrays do dressing, how Betty Ann does dressing, because you need white bread. And you have a lot of white bread because you have a lot of kids and grandchildren and spouses. So how...
Honey, tonight I'm using wheat bread.
Wheat? What?
Yes, what? I use wheat because... I didn't like the kind of white bread that was left in the store, so got wheat.
Okay. Well, is that still going to work?
It's healthy.
Is it going to change the taste, Mom?
Oh, no. It won't. The spices are still there.
Okay. All right. It's all about the spices, guys.
It makes me laugh. You are not the only person, especially son, that I have seen freak out when moms are like, yeah, I changed the stuffing recipe. And they're like, what? What?
Like it's tainting your childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
No, don't do that.
Well, you know, you grow up with this stuffing and it you know that taste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And suddenly, you know, you change it.
Well, it won't really change the taste.
Oh, boy. I'm going to have to get a report from my brothers. I don't know. But the process to make the homemade stuffing, I just want everybody to have the visual of the pieces of bread in the bottom of the stove in the broiler. So instead of making it two or four at a time in a toaster, my mother will take 9 pieces of bread and put them in the broiler on the stove. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can toast them much, much faster, right, Mom?
That's right, especially because I use 4 loaves of the 24-ounce bread.
Oh, yeah.
Four loaves.
Wow.
That's a lot of people. And if there's food left over, it's the Betty Ann carryout. She also has Tupperware that she picked up this week from Target, so we can take that out.
Well,
which is
not
nice.
Tupperware, but close.
So how many people will be at the McMurray family Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, not quite as many as before. We only are going to have 38. Some of you kids couldn't come in from
right.
Chicago.
Right. So that's small for our family.
Is that like 7 tables? How do you fit all everybody?
Well, I do have tables all over the house. We've got a large table in the dining room, a medium-sized one in the family room, a fairly large in the kitchen, and down the basement I have a large folding table.
The kids' table is usually in the kitchen, so you can go from the dining room table to the kids' table, so you can take care of your kids. But if there is a niece or nephew that brings in a new boyfriend or girlfriend, they sit at the dining room table and they get drilled.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a little intimidating.
That's good stuff.
Well,
yeah.
We are going to have some. You know, Jackie's engaged.
Oh!
And I don't, Gavin's coming.
I don't think I've met Gavin. I'd like to maybe FaceTime him tomorrow.
Oh, you know what, honey? Just take it easy. He's a really nice kid.
Well,
so throw him on air.
I don't want to ruin this engagement.
The greatest question to throw at these kids is, what are your intentions with my niece? Mm-hmm. And they just sit there and freak out and turn white. And you're waiting and you just stare. You know, in silence. I love it. It's fantastic.
You should interview him on the air.
Good thing you're not coming this year. Then
probably
either.
For the best. Yes.
Because Danny's bringing his girlfriend, too.
Oh, okay.
And she's a sweetheart.
I like that. And I was on a text with the brothers. I have 7 brothers, so there's 8 boys that this woman had. And there's no football tomorrow, again, because my brother Steve, who is the dentist in the family, blew out his knee, what, 6 years ago?
Yes, thank God. Okay. I hated it when you kids did that.
Let's tackle football. I mean, everybody plays on Thanksgiving, right? It's a tradition.
Sure.
So what are you going to do tomorrow morning? What do you have planned? Anything or just preparing?
Oh, honey, preparing, cooking. That's going to take up a good part of the day.
Right. Okay. Did we bake any pies? Because I made a homemade pie. I sent you that picture the other day.
You know what, Peter? I didn't have time.
It's okay, Mom.
They brought pumpkin, pecan, and apple streusel and French silk.
Oh, yeah.
I ran out of time.
It's okay. It's all right. You don't have to make everything. Kevin's laughing. He's like, you're apologizing that you didn't make a dessert.
Your mom's amazing.
So. We do have baklava. Aunt Joanne and I made that couple weeks ago.
Right. Yes.
No American dessert.
No
I'm
American
sorry.
Dessert. I'm sorry. Yeah, they'll bring that in. I usually bring the Costco pumpkin pie. Yeah.
Do you have any good stories from Pete's childhood? Anything maybe embarrassing, Mrs. McMurray?
Not at all. Nothing. No.
Honey, I will never tell stories about my children.
Okay.
There isn't really.
I don't want to embarrass them.
Yeah. It's
With
okay.
such a big family, do you guys ever have the normal family gripes like everybody else at Thanksgiving, or is it actually pretty calm and cool?
Well, other than being interrogated for the friends of the family, the nieces and nephews,
right?
No, it's pretty nice. Thank God we all get along.
Right? Yeah, we genuinely like each other.
That's very impressive for a big family.
Not bad.
Yeah, we don't always agree. But for Thanksgiving dinner, everything is, thank God, is super fine.
Right, aww. It is. All right, Mom, I'll call you tomorrow. I love you. Have a great night.
I love you too, honey. And Lauren and Kevin and is it Curtis?
Yes.
I forgot to wish you all happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving.
Look at that. That's nice.
All right. Have a great day tomorrow.
See you later, Mom.
Love you.
Love you, too. That's Betty Ann right there. All right.
I love your
woman, yeah.
I guarantee you she was wearing an apron as she was talking to us.
Just like flour. I picture flour just all over everything.
Of course, right. And when we go back to my mother's house, she has this, it's like a pleather type of bar in the middle of her family room. Think 1978 that she still has it. So we gather around the bar and the TV's right behind us. So we watch the Bear game sitting at the bar in her family room. And when my wife first came over to our house, she's like, oh, you have a bar in your family room?
That's awesome.
I'm like, yeah, that's normal, right?
That's amazing.
Hey, and it's pleather. Yeah, yes, it is. Okay. We'll take a quick break, and we have the 5 at 5 coming up after 5 o'clock. And it's Pete McMurray in for Roe Khan. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, also our text line. When you send us a text, it comes up on a big screen here in the studio. This is from Gene. Hey, Lauren, Polish Christmas bread is a tradition in my family, and by the way, we eat around noon.
Interesting.
Very early.
That's too early.
Gives yourself some time to graze throughout the evening.
Yes, but they say that you eat so much food on Thanksgiving, it's better to eat early in the day to help your digestive tract. So
that's true.
You don't have acid reflux when you go to bed and you get gassy.
Yeah, but we would sometimes, like if we were going to one of my aunt's houses for Thanksgiving, my mom would still just cook a turkey like in the morning.
Right.
Just have at the house.
Make some food.
Yeah, we would just kind of graze on it throughout the morning as we kind of watched football and bummed around. And then we got together and went for
big meal.
The prime time show.
And then you get carry out.
Plus, my mom always liked having the turkey around the house. You don't have to worry about, like, is there turkey left over at the party? We just had a full turkey at the house. My go-to turkey or, like, Thanksgiving, post-Thanksgiving, obviously you snack on some of the leftovers, but I like two pieces of white bread. A lot of mayo.
Oh, yeah. Now
and I
talking.
Like cranberry sauce, but out of the can. The can.
You mean the wiggly deal?
Yeah. Hang on. This is my post-Thanksgiving sandwich.
What?
Two white breads, a lot of mayo, the turkey, and then I take the cranberry sauce out of the can and I slice it. I make a couple thin slices
right, because
with
they
that.
Have the grooves right there to show you where to slice.
Exactly.
A cranberry puck.
And then I lay it on top of the turkey and the mayo, and that's my post-Thanksgiving. And I'll eat that Friday.
Huh. Friday morning. God, I love that.
Yeah.
I don't know about the cranberry, though. I never really understood that.
Because it's the tartness that cuts through the rich turkey and the smoky and the mayo.
Give me a piece of lettuce and
That works, too.
The mayo is so good.
I know. Mm. Extra mayo.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm getting hungry again, even though we filled up with
stuffing.
You
like mayo, not Miracle Whip, right?
I love both of it. It's the same. It tastes the same to me.
They're so different.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
They taste both. I have both in my refrigerator. Seriously.
I mean, I like just regular old mayo over.
You got to go mayo light, and then you can go Miracle Whip at times. It's the same thing.
You guys are throwing me here. I'm still trying
to get the visual of you cutting the cranberry from a can and putting it on your sandwich with the white bread.
Yeah, that's the way to go. It's delicious. I like cranberry sauce out of the can.
Okay.
I mean, I like all cranberry sauce, but I do like the ones out of the can.
You seem very passionate about that. I'm just going to...
defending my turkey sandwich.
I'm
going
to go to news now before you punch me in the neck. Okay. All right, it's Pete McMurray and for Roe. So Roe's not here. Anna's not here. Kevin's here. Lauren's here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Anna has her own show now. So
yes, she does.
1 to 3 Monday.
I may hang out with her husband this weekend, David.
You're going to hang out with him?
Yeah. He's my new buddy.
Oh, yeah?
Went to a wedding and we became fast friends.
Nice.
Because we were drinking champagne next to each other.
Oh, that'll do
very
it.
Nice.
Yes, it will. It's so funny how weddings bond people together because they're half in the bag. All right, number 5.
Number 5.
Bears play the Lions tomorrow at 11 a.m. The offense has been absolutely horrendous this year. And while the numbers show improvement in the second half of games, the first half still terrible. 11 games in. Mitch, is it frustrating?
Yeah, it's frustrating, but you just got to keep believing that we're going to start fast. Everyone's just got to go out there and do our jobs, and when 11 guys are on the same page, not making mistakes, just out there doing their jobs, then we're playing fast and just playing football. But right now we're making silly mistakes, and it just so happens to be early in the game, and we've been inconsistent, but we just got to fix that. Believe in the plan and know it cold inside and out, and just go out and execute it.
Does he practice that speech?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Kind of reminds me of the SNL skit when Kenan comes in. He's like, hey, I never done football. You know, you just got to go out there football. It's like, wait, what? What are you saying? It doesn't really make sense, but it does.
Yeah.
We're not that good this year.
They're not that good. No. I mean, remember Thanksgiving last year? How much excitement? I think Eddie Jackson had a pick 6 in that game. They were doing the Motown dancing celebration.
Oh, that was great.
We're kind of getting to the final quarter of the season. We're all starting to think, whoa, can this team go deep into the playoffs, Super Bowl? And now we're like, what is happening?
This is
laughable. Laughably
but
bad.
The Packers are losing. Well, the Vikings are winning.
They're alive, Pete. Technically, yeah. They're alive.
They are alive. What's our record?
They're 5-6.
And
the Rams lost and the Packers lost last week, so I don't know.
The Rams look terrible.
And the Ravens look unbeatable.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Lamar Jackson pretty much sealed
Lamar
out the MVP
Jackson
after
is
that
the
game.
MVP. He's so good.
Over their last three games, make sure I have this right. Over the last three games, they've punted twice, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar Jackson, it was RG3 filling in for Lamar Jackson. Basically, they're getting points and production every single time Lamar Jackson's in the game.
They have to be one of the favorites.
Night. Yeah, no doubt.
And so you got the Ravens, Patriots. Who are your top three in the NFL?
49ers.
49ers up there? We got 49ers-Ravens this Sunday.
Ooh,
that's going to
be
good.
One.
That could be a Super Bowl preview.
Mm. Okay.
So don't count out the Packers, too. I hate to say it.
I'm married to a Packer
fan. I know you
fan.
Are. I was going to ask you about that off the air, but I didn't want to bring
it
up.
It's okay. We have one here,
the
too.
The last few weeks, it's been pretty good because they've lost two in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, we have one of my best friends is my cousin Mike, but he's a Packer fan. So... I always think people talk about the typical things you could argue at Thanksgiving. For me, it's always please, this is not even do the Bears Packers thing at Thanksgiving.
Right. Do we have to do it? We have a great quarterback, and our quarterback is mediocre at best.
All the arguments are the same. Your quarterbacks are horrible. It's
right.
Just take your friendly jabs.
You'll fall off towards the end of the season and blow it in the playoffs. You always do. Hamp will be and Kaz will be on the air at 9 for the pre and then the post after the game. All right.
Number 4.
This time I'm gonna kick that football clear to the moon.
Charlie Brown Thanksgiving airs at 7 o'clock on ABC tonight.
So great. Such a classic.
How old do you think it is? Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
50+ years.
If I had to guess, I would say 46.
Oh, you looked at the sheet.
You saw the sheet.
We have the script in front of us.
You saw the sheet.
Well, do you want me to lie and give you a fake guess?
46 years old. It aired in 1973.
On November 20th.
You remember the early 70s, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From researching it in history class.
Right. Was Nixon out of office in 73? I think he was gone by then. Yeah.
I'm not the best at history.
This and that. Yeah. I do remember 73, though. Just too bad. Is anybody here over 20 on this show?
Yes.
Besides
that
me?
That would be me.
Oh, and there's Kim.
Hey, yeah. We are just a young
30s.
30s. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Guess I'm in the upper demo with Kim.
I'm the grandmother in this group.
By the way, who is a Packer fan.
How come people are sometimes in 20 years, I wonder if I'll be afraid to tell someone my age. Why do people shy away from telling people their age? I know it's kind of rude to ask someone their age, but...
I'm proud of my age.
Kim's proud of it?
She looks amazing.
Yeah, I'm as old as however you want me to be.
Okay.
Right.
You're youthful, though, so what does it matter?
Thanks.
Age is
just a number.
It's
a lot.
I don't want the people at Fox to hear that because they're a little weird about that. And okay. We're going to finish with the 5 at 5. By the way, we have shots coming in. Bobby McGuire is coming in from Butch McGuire's right after 6 o'clock. And then Bobby and I are going to hop in my car or hop in an Uber and head on over there.
Christmas shot. Can we take it out of an ornament?
That would be fun.
Yeah. Now you're talking. I like it.
I took a shot out of a shot glass that was it was ice. They freeze the shot glasses, the ice into the form of a shot glass. So you take the shot out of that and then you throw it at the wall. They have a guitar.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's great. Where was that?
That's at West Loop. What's it called?
There's a lot of options.
Right. I'm driving down Madison in my head.
Federales. It's a whole thing there. You can take the shot and they have this bell and then you throw it at the ground, and then you're ding and then it explodes.
Maybe I stop by there this weekend.
You should.
Okay. Let's take a look at traffic and weather, Lauren.
Number 3.
All right, top 5 at 5 and number 3. Hoping to bring back feelings of childhood nostalgia this holiday season. If you're lucky enough to be near one of two cities, you'll have the chance to go to Toys R Us.
There was nothing quite like the thrill of your parents telling you you're stopping at Toys R Us. Oftentimes, they were like, just stay in the car. We gotta get a gift for our cousin Tommy.
In the car because they don't want you to come in.
Yeah, because then we go in there and we're walking out with a cart full of toys.
It's cruel.
Two smaller permanent permanent Toys R Us stores are about to open. The first one debuts Saturday in Paramus, New Jersey. The second will open in December in the Galleria in Houston. Richard Perry is the president and CEO of True Kids, which owns Toys R Us, says the stores will be a whole different experience.
The original thing was selling the story that we're going to come back, right? And that this is going to be new and different, because immediately people think that you're just going to do the same thing. Big 45,000 square foot stores, same formula. So convincing folks that there was a different model here, that took a little bit of convincing to start, but now we're really getting people to embrace it.
I don't like that he's British and he owns Toys R Us. He runs it. Should be an American guy. Is that wrong? I don't know.
How many toys are made in America, to be honest?
I don't know what it was, but I heard his voice. I'm like, this is right. He shouldn't be the CEO of Toys R Us. That's America.
Well, that's why they have a giraffe as their kind of talksman.
You don't like the giraffe?
No, I love the giraffe, but okay. I'm saying that's more fitting, right? That's why he's the face of Toys R Us.
Yeah.
Because you don't want that guy to be the face or right. voice, apparently.
Favorite all-time toy?
Legos.
Legos.
I mean, G.I. Joe, Kung Fu Grip. Mm-hmm. How do you go wrong with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a lot of wrestling figurines.
G.I. Joe was a badass, though.
Yeah, he was.
He was. Yeah. Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good stuff. All right. Number two.
Number two.
service.
I am not mocking people that serve, please. Ahead of the biggest shopping day of the year, parents are being warned about a toy recall that can cause injury or, in some cases, death.
In just 1 month in Oregon, two doctors removed 54 small magnets from four children. These can be ingested. They're very powerful. They can pinch together inside the body and cause severe injuries and even death.
USPIRGfund.org if you want to check that list of toys. I'm trying to think other toys. The Tyco train track was my favorite. Mm-hmm. Tyco. That's about it. I really can't recall.
We just had a lot of Legos.
Legos.
Because the great thing about Legos is you can have all kinds of themes, right? So you got like the medieval castles, or
right.
you can kind of, now obviously you have a lot of the Star Wars and any other kind of movie theme.
It's crazy how expensive Legos are.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that is the pain of it.
See, Legos changed over. When I was a kid, they just had the blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Well,
there was nothing creative about it.
When we were kids, they started like working in like the firehouse or the police mm-hmm. station.
Yeah.
I thought that was the coolest thing. Now it's like ridiculous, like mm-hmm. ginormous Star Wars, everything. You can build like
Yeah, you can have the Death Star. It's like $500. Yeah.
We had the Death Star.
You did?
Every year, my son was so into Legos. Every year, he'd get two or three for Christmas, and we'd have to make them right away.
Yeah.
So I'm like, my wife's name is Sarah. I'm like, Sarah, what are you doing to me? So it's a four-hour event. I'm down there. I'm like, I got to take a break.
It's so
I got to get out of here.
See, I was never into building like a specific thing. To me, it was more of just like improvising.
Well, yeah, that's the other fun stuff. Part.
Having fun.
Because like if you build, like with Legos, like you build the Death Star, does it just sit on your cabinet then?
No.
Like what do you do with
my
it?
Son,
well, when you're older, yes.
He would build it and we told him he had a day rule. He had to sit for a day and then he'd rip it apart and then he would make something out of it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you'd like then, just admire it for a day or two and then disassemble
right.
and rebuild?
Because it would take 2 or 3 days to make.
Yeah, the Jeez. Big ones for sure. But when you're a kid, you just play, you know, Star Wars with it, with the little figurines and everything like that. But when you're older, yeah, you appreciate the model. I still have like the entire Hogwarts castle, trust
really?
Me.
Do you really? You
oh,
can
yeah.
sell that for money.
I
get
probably
some cash
can.
For
yeah,
it.
They don't have those editions anymore.
You go on eBay and check those figurines, those little Lego guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of those go for big money.
If you check my keys, I have a giant Darth Vader Lego that when you push the button in the middle, his feet are flashlights. They're awesome.
Are you? Wow.
Yeah.
I wish everyone could capture the joy of Lauren's face explaining this to Pete and I in the studio right now.
I've never seen you so happy. That is wonderful. You're a big Star Wars person.
Big Star Wars, just pretty much like a big nerd. I love Star Wars, love Harry Potter, love Legos.
The new Star Wars movie is supposed to be ridiculously great, right?
Oh, that's what I'm hearing. That's what they're setting it up to be.
I saw the trailer yesterday.
Did Rich give his official
rope? No, he can't. So I asked him if I could go, but of course he's going to see it noon on like a Tuesday.
Gotcha.
Next few weeks, so I can't go now.
Have you been into the screening room in Chicago where Roper goes?
I have not.
I've been in there. It's on the corner of Michigan and Lake. It's like the top floor, but a very nondescript building. Mm. And you walk in to this area. You walk down a hall. The elevator opens. You walk down this dark hall. And you walk into this room that's the size maybe of your den. And it's got 12 chairs in there.
Yeah.
Very
that's
weird.
What I've heard.
And it's all these weird people. And you got
weird people.
It is. It's like these randoms. And then you got cool people like Roper and, you know, a few TV people. Dean is there every
very
once
select
in a while.
Few. Yeah.
But they all watch it in this weird room.
It's like underground blogger type guys.
Yeah. It's like that. Yeah, this is what I do. And then they talk about the movie afterwards and hang out. It's like, okay.
Huh.
Yeah.
What did you go for? Did you have to... It's like an assignment for you?
Yeah, you know what? If the movie studios call and you have a celebrity on, they make you see the movie. And then I figured out I can send an intern to go see the movie. So someone on the show has to see a movie. So it took me a while to figure that out. Yeah. So that's where I saw Roper a few times. All right.
Number one.
If you're planning on traveling today, be prepared to massive storms pounding the U.S. from Oregon to New York with a combination of snow, rain, and high winds as millions of people take to the roads and skies ahead of Thanksgiving holiday. High wind warning, as Lauren's been talking about, in effect until 6 o'clock. WGN-TV News was at O'Hare Airport and talked to a family heading to Disney.
We left a day early from Iowa. So we left yesterday because there was a snowstorm coming, also blizzard conditions. So we left and we came and stayed at a hotel. And then now we're here. So a full day early.
That sounds so painful. Taking kids to Disney over Thanksgiving.
Having to stay at the airport hotel. Before the day. It's probably a smart move, though.
Yeah, not bad. But did they get out? That's the question.
Yeah.
I don't think there's too many flights that are delayed.
No, surprisingly, the way the winds are blowing, the flights have not been impacted too bad. And wind in general will not necessarily cancel a flight. It's the storms out west that are heading east, mm-hmm. or making their way, I should say, that will be impacting other things. However, some gusts can really affect certain takeoff. And,
and Sunday is going to be worse than today.
Yes, because you got the precipitation.
Sunday's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Maybe you should come in.
No, I'm good.
And on Sunday, do a little work here. All right, top five at five. Do we have a sponsor? Or we already mentioned the sponsor. Okay, let's close her out.
The top five at five.
Meyer has that very soothing voice, doesn't he? Like, he's the guy that you want over to come over to your house and give you the talk, maybe insurance. Or
read you a bedtime story.
Read us a bedtime story. It's very soothing, David Plyer. Filling in tomorrow morning. And by the way, he sent an email to the staff about what you're thankful for because he wanted to play it back. Did you guys send that in?
I didn't get that email, actually.
I didn't get the email either.
It went to everybody.
No, I swear to God.
Really?
You know what, Ro, we were walking out yesterday and Ro mentioned something. I really don't think I got that email.
Yeah, me neither.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so I
got the email.
I won't be featured on his early morning.
What are you guys thankful for?
All the basics. You know, family, friends, health.
I mean, outside of that.
Job.
What are you thankful for?
Job. Yeah, outside of friends, family, and health, all that stuff. Probably job.
Job?
Yeah. Great coworkers.
Hmm.
No, I mean that sincerely.
All right.
I've worked at a lot of places where it is just animosity left and right.
Yeah, you know what I noticed when I used to work at a tiny little radio station in the central Illinois, and then when I got here, just... And honestly, this is not me ripping any of those former coworkers because everybody has to do about 30 different jobs to keep
market.
It on the air, and mm-hmm. you get paid dirt money. So when you get here, everyone, one, appreciates the call letters. It's GN. You're not bigger than the call letters. Mm-hmm. Everyone's good at, you know, there's just a lot of talented people. So
I think one of your first times on the air, we worked together on a Sunday.
It was, those were.
You were still in college.
No, I was probably right out of college. I wasn't still in college when I was working here.
Okay.
I started right out of college in 2012.
You looked a lot different.
Yeah, I did. I should do that 10-year challenge thing.
What is that?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like a new social media. Like, you post side-by-side photos.
A 2009
photo,
pic,
Of the start of the decade, end of the decade, side-by-side face pics of yourself.
God, I couldn't even find a picture from 2010.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like,
where
I don't know. That's how I was
are
like.
People that organized?
When I saw that, I'm like, I'm not digging for a picture from 10 years ago. Whatever.
Facebook, you know, since it does that memories thing, people say, from 9 years ago, 10 years ago, but I didn't have my version
of
Facebook.
I go on Facebook like twice
10 years
a year.
Ago.
People don't get rid of their pictures on their phone. Guarantee I have a 10-year-old picture on my phone.
What about the memory? You don't have to clear space?
I keep buying more memory.
Oh, like your cloud?
Right, yeah.
That's how they get you.
I mean, remember, I have a wife and a kid, so...
A lot of memories.
My wife has never backed up her phone nor cleared her phone in the years that we've been married. Okay, let's take a look at news.
Hello.
What are you doing here?
We came here to eat dinner and to party. This is a dinner party, right?
720 WGN, Pete McMurray and Farrell Khan in the Skyline Studios. Tomorrow, the big parade, Chicago's parade. That is what's happening. In studio with us is the executive producer of the Thanksgiving parade, Phil Purovich. It's good to see you, man. How
good
are
you? Good seeing you, Pete. Doing great.
Your hair is much longer than I remember. Are you in a rock band? What is going on?
No, you know, I just got tired of paying for haircuts, so just decided to let it grow a bit.
I think I like it. I mean, you notice nice hair on somebody, you have to comment, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
draws the attention.
Sure.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So tomorrow, you got the parade going on. It's going to be a little crazy, isn't it?
It is. It's always a mad dash to the end, but the team's been doing a great job, and we've got a great show tomorrow for everyone in Chicago that's going to come out and watch, and all the folks are going to watch on WGN9.
Well, tell us about it. We have Dan Ponce on next hour. I told him not to screw up. That's why we're going to have him on to kind of coach him through it.
Dan's a pro. He's going to do a great job with the parade. He always does. We love seeing him out there. And, you know, we've got 3 hours of family-filled entertainment for everyone. So our first hour is staged for television-only performances. So we have Broadway in Chicago, Teatro Zanzani, Renaissance Boliviano, so a lot of great cultural groups. And then the Forward Motion Parade is from 9 to 11, so that's the traditional bands, floats, balloons, horses portion of the parade.
This is a family tradition for a lot of families in the Chicago area. Anything new for anybody that's going this year that they could expect to see compared to past couple years?
Yeah, you know, our grand marshals this year are fantastic. We've got Chris Sullivan from NBC's This Is Us.
Toby,
that's
right.
Yeah,
we're going to talk to him in a few minutes.
Excellent.
I can't wait.
Yeah. And Miguel Cervantes, who has been Hamilton
in the
Chicago cast of Hamilton for the entire run of the show, will be with us. And I mentioned Teatro Zanzani. They're having a residency at the Cambria Hotel. So they're going to do our opening number, and it's going to be a fantastic routine.
How do you get these people?
You know, that's one
like Chris Sullivan, who plays Toby on This Is Us. You figure he's busy right now, and you call him up and say, hey, this is Phil. We need you. Bring
that's
it in.
About how it goes. So we do a lot of sort of reaching out. We try to find celebrities that have ties to Chicago. And Chris does have ties to Chicago. He cut his teeth in Chicago theater. So that's what brought him back this year. And for that, we really just beat the bushes. I mean, we go out to see, you know, performances at Navy Pier, at the Cultural Center, at Daly Plaza, even in the suburbs. We monitor parades all across the country looking for the best talent. And if we see something we want, we really actively recruit them. And we're, you know, selling Chicago, and we're selling the Thanksgiving parade.
Sure.
As a great performance opportunity.
Do you have any pro tips for anybody going, like, best place to watch the parade, or maybe a place some people might not go normally, get a good look at the parade?
I do. So it's natural that everyone wants to sort of be close to the TV zone. That's
right.
Where all the action is.
Yeah, that's
but
it.
But if you're looking to kind of sneak in and sneak out and have it be a little less congested, State and Van Buren. So just north of the L tracks.
Yep.
So it just, you know, not as densely populated in that area.
Okay.
So if you're going to get there a little bit late, or if you're just not a fan of the really big crowd, go to that intersection, and that's your best
bet. I'm writing that down right now. State and Van Buren. It starts at 8 a.m.?
It does. 8 a.m. to 11. And we always say try to arrive at 7:30. And, of course, if you can't take public transportation, that's always your best bet.
Who kicks off the parade?
Teatro Zanzani. So that's going to be your opening number. So, you know, and from there we go into the other stage performances, the Black Ensemble Theater. I mentioned Renaissance Boliviano, the Aramovitsa, Ukrainian dance team will be there, always a crowd favorite. So, and Teatro is new to us this year, so that's one of our new groups.
Is Santa Claus at the end?
Well, I can't tell you that, Pete. I mean, we've put in a request to have the big guy make an appearance.
Really?
He's a busy guy. But I've got a feeling that he's going to help us out this year.
I can't imagine what this week is like for you. I mean, it's just got to be crazy, because if you're running the Chicago Thanksgiving parade, people want to come to you with their problems, their last-minute problems.
That's absolutely right.
And you're getting text messages and the VIP people, I want to get my family in. Phil, can you help me?
I like to say that my job for the 2 weeks prior to the parade is to let people yell at me. So, and, you know, everyone... you know, if they have problems and they're trying to get them resolved,
yeah,
I'm the guy they call, and I do my best to make sure everybody's, you know, having a great experience with the parade. And I've accepted that that's my fate in life.
I can't imagine the panic from the weather today. Like, if the winds were just 24 hours later.
We were getting lots of email, direct messages about this. And, of course, people have, you know, they should be concerned. It was you know, kind of a different kind of a day here. But tomorrow, the weather's going to be great.
It's perfect.
It is. It's going to be very seasonable, even a little bit on the nice side in terms of the morning temperatures. And people should come out. It's going to be a great show. And, you know, the great thing about it, ending at 11, there's time to get home for your Thanksgiving meal.
All right. What time do you eat tomorrow?
We have dinner together, sort of all the people that are displaced by, you know, working or producing the parade.
Okay.
So we have a great dinner at the Sheraton Grand Chicago, just right across the river from here. And we'll have about 90 guests there and about 7 p.m. after the parade.
Wow.
Yeah.
So and then parade marches north on State Street.
That's correct. We are, I believe, the only parade in the city that that marches north. All the other parades that march on State Street go south.
Okay, I guess that's true. Why? Why do you go north?
When we decided to move the parade back to State Street, back, I believe, in 1999, we just, you know, walked the route. We assessed where the best staging area would be, where the best disband area would be, and I'd been in the parade business for about 8 years by then, and I was aware of what the city was doing with their parades, but I just felt that it was a better operational plan to stage south of Congress, now Ida B. Wells Drive, of course,
right,
and march north and disband on the north end of the loop. And it's a great operational plan, but the city, of course, has a very strong plan for the rest of the parades, and they keep that one. And, we coexist with those other plans.
How long have you been the executive producer of the Thanksgiving parade here in Chicago?
1997 was my first parade as executive producer.
I feel like I met you when I first moved to town in 98.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, you've been on every single year.
Yeah, I'm always happy to be here.
It's good stuff. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to check weather and traffic, and we're going to bring on Chris Sullivan from This Is Us. Have you met Chris? Well, I'm sure you've talked to him on the phone. Have you met him in person yet?
I haven't. Okay. I haven't met him, so looking forward to having him out at the event tomorrow and, you know, getting to know him.
720 WGN. It's Pete McMurray. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. In studio with us is the executive producer of Chicago's Thanksgiving Parade, Phil Purovich, and the co-grand marshal is on the line. Would you like to introduce him?
I most certainly will. So everyone, please welcome Chris Sullivan from NBC's This Is Us.
Chris, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How's everybody doing?
See, the happy Toby. That's what I like. I like the happy Toby.
Listen, we just got into town and first stop, buying a pair of gloves.
Cold.
Well, listen, tell everybody you're tied to Chicago. You should know this weather. It can be hot one day and freezing the next.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I mean, I was able to prepare pretty well. In Los Angeles, you can find a good hat and you can find a good coat, but gloves are kind of the last frontier. But yeah, my career got started here in Chicago. I started here doing theater at places like the Goodman, at Chicago Shakespeare, and the Court Theater, and went from here to Broadway.
God, that's great. And This Is Us called, and the rest is history.
Yeah, New York, and then Los Angeles called, and then now I'm full circle back to where it all began.
Tell me about that phone call when Phil called you up and said, listen, we need you to come back for the parade. Did you say yes right away, or did you have to think about it? Let's see, Chicago in November, I'm not sure if I want to go back.
Of course, I said Chicago, yes. Someone who will sit in an open convertible in November in Chicago, there's only one person for this job.
There you go.
And it is me. I do well in the cold. I like it.
You put him in a convertible, Phil? Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
He'll be up in the TV zone at the beginning of the show, and he'll spend a little time talking to people, do a short interview.
Okay.
And then back down to the staging area into a Mercedes-Benz convertible, and then up the parade route for all the fans to see.
And then straight to Butch McGuire's when you're done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Chris, a very nice convertible. That's how they get you.
Mercedes-Benz. Chris, how long are you in town?
Yeah.
We're here through the weekend. We're going to see family and friends. My wife is from Champaign-Urbana, so a bunch of family and friends are coming to town, and we're going to catch up with everybody and have a little Thanksgiving celebration.
Now, this is year three for This Is Us?
We are in season four. Currently in season four.
Okay. Yeah. You and Kate, let me get this right. You and Kate were struggling to get married. You finally got married. And then you were struggling to have a kid. You finally got, you had a baby. And then your baby is blind and you're about ready. Your marriage is almost over.
Listen, there are ups and downs in life. life is full of its own particular dramas. And This Is Us certainly knows how to portray all of them.
Well, I want you to know that I'm a big fan of the show, and I think it's wonderful. But people, when you bring up the show, it's like, oh, the show that makes you cry every week. People are crying watching This Is Us.
Well, you know, art is meant to hold up a mirror to its audience and ask the audience how it feels and what it thinks and what its opinions are. And This Is Us has a lot of themes and storylines that people seem to be connecting to. So we're very happy about that.
So, Chris, this is Phil with the Parade. I understand that you're a musician and you've currently got a band. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm currently performing under the name Joseph the Spouse. I'm doing some like blues, folk, Americana type songs, music with Taylor Goldsmith is producing the upcoming record, and we've been writing together, and he is, of course, from a band called Dawes. And hopefully the record will be out probably February or March.
Look at that. Yeah.
Busy guy.
Love Dawes.
Do you go on tour with that?
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully we'll be able to hit the road and play some shows. Chicago, of course, will be a stop on the way.
So you spent some time in Chicago. Where does a Chris Sullivan hang out? You got a bar you like to go to, a specific restaurant? You got to hit Portillo's? Where are you headed?
Listen, I lived all along Sheridan Road, three different places, because that was my bus line. And so I never moved off my bus line. So I spent a lot of time at the Holiday Club, spent a lot of time in Wrigleyville, and down there near Broadway and Belmont were my old neighborhoods. And of course, always going to I'm going to go see a show at Steppenwolf while I'm here. May try and go catch a show at the Improv Olympic, IO. But the culture is what I'm after. The food finds me. I don't have to try very hard to find the food.
And Justin Hartley, where did he go to high school? Was it Sandberg? He's from Chicago.
I'm not sure. Yeah, he's from the northern suburbs, I think. I'm not quite sure exactly where he went. But he's currently directing the episode of This Is Us that we're working on right now.
Oh, wow. How does that work if you're an actor on a TV show and you're directing yourself?
It's just a lot of talking out loud to yourself, kind of looking like a schizophrenic person.
I love it. Well,
yelling at yourself and then throwing tantrums, walking off, you know.
Well, continued success, man, with the show. It's probably the biggest show on NBC right now. Is there anything bigger than This Is Us?
Listen, there's nothing bigger than This Is Us on TV, period, people.
Chris Sullivan. Chris, we'll see you at the parade tomorrow. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. That is Chris Sullivan. He plays Toby on This Is Us. What a great guy.
Fantastic. We couldn't be more lucky to have him with us this year.
I mean, who are some of the past Grand Marshals?
You know, another great actor, a comedian with deep Chicago ties is Matt Walsh. So his most recent role was on Veep.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you watch Veep on on HBO, he had a great role on that. You know, one of the primary cast characters. Obviously, it was an ensemble cast.
Right.
But he was our Grand Marshal 3 or 4 years ago, and it was just fantastic having him back. He rode through the parade in his convertible, and he had this great old-school Bears sweater on.
Oh, nice.
And a great Bears cap. So, and he does a Bears podcast. Out from L.A., so he's a huge Chicago Bears
really?
Fan. Yeah. And he couldn't have been more accommodating to fans, you know, just folks on the street that want to take a photo with him. And there were some other younger comedians around, and he was giving them some career advice. You know, you want to go here, you want to do these sort of sets. You want to go work on your skill and your craft at these places. So he was fantastic.
I feel like when people come through Chicago, they're good people.
I would agree with that.
I mean, you know? Chris Sullivan, look at this guy talking about Sheridan Road, the Holiday Club, Wrigleyville.
I was going to say, everybody that comes through, when they do return, they talk about how much they love this town. Right. It's like, have you ever met anybody who's like, nah, Chicago is just okay? Nobody says that. You come to Chicago for a day, like, that was awesome. You live here for a period of time. This is one of the best cities in the world.
Definitely. Any advice for Dan Ponce, one of the hosts tomorrow, along with Lauren?
You know, Dan's a pro. He'd be giving me advice on what I need to be doing on parade days.
Don't give him that much credit. You know,
I want Dan to sing sometime during the parade. That's
he's a singer.
He's got to do it. He's got an album and everything.
He's quite
TV
talented.
TV guy, sings, he's good looking. I want to punch him in the stomach. Phil, thanks for coming in. Tomorrow, 8 o'clock in the morning on WGN-TV, or you can go down to State in Van Buren where the little secret is. But where does it start again?
We step off at State and Ida B. Wells Drive, and we go north to Randolph.
Where is the executive director the whole time? Do you have like a stand where you're directing people? Or are you
the executive producer?
Producer, I'm sorry. Executive producer of the...
I'm generally in the morning. I'm down in staging just, you know, really just kind of greeting people and letting them know that, you know, we're very thankful that they're being with us, coming out.
That's all they want to hear is a big thanks.
Well,
yeah.
That's how I feel. I mean, these people come out, they perform no matter what the weather is. And, you know, I just want them to know how much we appreciate it. And then as we get closer to showtime, I go up to TV Zone and just try to stay out of everybody's way.
Phil, you're the best. Happy Thanksgiving. It's good to see you again.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving.
News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. It is a Chicago tradition, especially around the holidays, going to Butch McGuire's on Division. In studio with us is Bobby McGuire. It's good to see you.
Nice to see you, Pete. Thanks for having
us. It's nice to see me sober, isn't it?
It is.
Right. It is. And you brought a bartender with you. Zach, how are you, man?
Doing great, thanks.
Bobby, how packed was it when you left the bar today?
We were at capacity.
What?
Yeah.
It's not even 7.
I know. Well, it started like 3 o'clock.
Are you kidding me?
Wednesday.
Blacking out happens earlier and earlier every year.
But Pete and I were talking about how all the bars now try to become worthy of an Instagram post. So they decorate, they do pop-up bars, things like that. And Pete was like, made the point, Butch McGuire's like the original because everybody that goes there takes a picture of the decorations.
They do.
So how did that I'll start because there's nothing cooler than the interior of Butch McGuire's.
It started as like an employee-driven decoration party back in the 60s. And then my dad saw Goldblatt's department store was selling all their window displays, Christmas window displays.
Okay.
They were making new ones, I guess. And he bought all of them. And he added
to do something with them.
Yeah, some Chicago firemen who are carpenters on the side. And he gave it all to them. He said, do something with this stuff.
Okay.
And they figured out the only place they could put it that wouldn't take up valuable drinking space was the ceiling. So they made a bunch of mobiles and hung all the decorations from the ceiling, and that's where it really kind of took off.
Where did the train come from? I mean, I could see the decorations and the lights, but hey, let's put a train above the bar.
My dad was not a big train guy, so someone must have given him the ideas, you know, and he's like, sure, I'll put a train up, and they've been up ever since.
I mean, that's a big deal for people to come in during the holidays and see the decorations, the train, and have a Bloody Mary. I mean, my sister has done it for years. She lives out in Palatine every year, brings her family downtown.
Yeah, we have a lot of like second, third, fourth generation families coming in with 3 and 4 generations, like they've been coming since the 60s.
Right.
Now they got their grandkids and great-grandkids with them.
Yeah.
And the trains, we decorate all the cars with local businesses, but they all donate to Mercy Home for boys and girls. We make them give a big donation to Mercy Home to run their car.
I have never noticed that.
Yeah.
I'm going to notice that tonight, walking in completely sober
there
at 7:20. How long have you guys owned the bar?
Since 61 we opened.
1961. Yeah. What was there before?
Bobby Farrell's Duchess Show Lounge.
Wow. So lots of stories in that location.
Wow. Man.
It was a burlesque club that had been closed for 3 or 4 years when Butch took it over.
Okay. Butch was your father?
Yeah.
Who passed away? When was that?
It was 06, back in 2006.
I mean, I remember the parties just kept going for days and just paying tribute to your father. Yep. I wrote a letter to the bar. People just felt compelled to say something and just show up at the bar, and they couldn't even get in that day.
No, they couldn't get in that day or for many days after. And then, you know, the alderman back then was nice enough to let us kind of have an impromptu block party the day of his funeral.
Yeah.
So it was good. It was
Chicago. Yeah, you know, we're going to just, you know, just block off Division, and you guys can just party in the street.
Yeah,
isn't that the Chicago way? So Butch McGuire's, over the years, I'm sure you've seen tons of celebrities come in.
Yeah, a handful. Mostly sports, you know, a lot of Blackhawks players.
Right.
The Bears players, when they're rookies, when they get big and famous, they stop coming in, you know.
Really? Is that what happens?
Yeah, it is. Cutler used to come in when he was, you know, a new player on the Bears, and then when he
and then
was,
people started hating him, and so then you couldn't be out of
punched him in the stomach and told him never to come back. Bobby McGuire is here from Butch McGuire's on Division. So we're not going to have to wait in line, are we, tonight?
No, you won't have to wait.
Okay, right. Come in the side door.
That's
the secret
why you're
door.
Doing this radio spot.
Don't let out the radio secrets,
Bobby.
You know
me so well. You know me so well. How has the bar changed? Because I remember when I first started going there, I remember that side room was smaller. Or was I just not paying attention? And the back room, I thought, was smaller.
Well, there was no back room.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know when the first time you went into Butch's was, but the back room, really, there was no bar back there, and...
Okay.
The bar ended about 12 feet before it does now. So we blew out the back wall and built the bar. And so we were definitely longer.
What was back there? An alley? What
it's like a covered alleyway for deliveries.
Really?
Yeah. So it went all the way through the building to the old Lane Drugs that had a restaurant in it. That was their delivery corridor.
Okay. And you just took it over?
Yeah, we just took it over.
We were going to take it. And the side? Was the side that big?
The side looked bigger because I opened the wall up.
Okay.
So I made the opening twice as big, so the room looks bigger.
Well, you can never tell because it's always packed when I go in there.
Well, yeah. You come at the right time.
Right.
St. Patrick's Day.
Well, is the basement ever open anymore?
No.
Okay.
We lost that privilege.
Why? What happened? That city said...
The city said no. They said the top of the stairs is 2 inches too low. The basement stairs. So it doesn't stay the same height all the way up because it's an old building.
Right.
At the top, the ceiling's too low.
Can't you fix that? Call it down?
I'd have to rip out 3 staircases to do it.
You're kidding.
Because I'd have to go take all the staircases.
Yeah, you have to go up.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
No, it's a lot of money. I looked.
So you're making holiday drinks for us.
We are, yeah.
Okay. Well, Zach, hold that thought because do we still check traffic in the 6
we
o'clock
sure
hour?
Do.
Okay,
we
I just
do.
Want to make sure we're going to check traffic and weather, and we'll get back. Bobby McGuire's here, his bartender Zach from Butch McGuire's, which everybody will be checking out over the holidays. But first, Lauren, in studio with us is Bobby McGuire from Butch McGuire's. What is Zach's last name, your bartender here?
Zach Senna.
Zach Senna, who's making drinks.
Cena.
That's
like the wrestler?
8 years, Bobby.
He put me on the spot.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. Zach is here, one of the bartenders. First of all, I want to apologize for my behavior that one time. Yeah. Okay.
It happens. It'll happen again, I'm sure.
What drink are you making for the entire crew?
So I got a couple drinks here. First, I'm going to give you guys a hot drink. It's the hot toddy we serve every year. I've been doing it for years.
Okay.
I love a hot toddy. I lost my voice last winter, and nothing could bring it back, and I drank a hot toddy, and I could talk again.
It will bring you back to life.
It's incredible.
We're doing bullet bourbon in it, hot water. We have lemon, orange, cinnamon stick, and honey. Hot
okay.
water. It's delicious. It's refreshing. It's good for you. Is what I at least tell people.
Really? Yeah. I like that. Lauren is staring at the
true.
Bullet. Are you staring at the bullet?
I am. Uh-huh. Once he pulled it, I was like, oh my God, that's my go-to.
Lauren, let's get you some bullet.
Bobby, let me ask you about a shot, a particular shot that's available around the holidays. It's called Christmas in Your Mouth. Who
yes.
came up with that, and what was the meeting like?
It was no meeting. It was just one of the bartenders playing around, made... It's basically Bailey's cream de mint and Rumpelmitz, and... Mm. More importantly, which is probably not a combination that's, you know, that combination's been done a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
He just came up with a very clever name called Christmas in Your Mouth, and we've been selling a lot of them
ever
since.
Oh, my gosh.
I bet.
That's all I hear about.
Yeah.
Your jukebox, I want to say you were one of the first people in Chicago to have touchtunes. Because
okay.
I remember downloading that on my phone in the middle of your bar right in front of the men's bathroom.
Right.
Were you?
Well, We have this relationship with A&H, which is an old coin vending operator from way back.
Okay.
And because we've been with them so long, they tend to give us all the new stuff when it first comes out.
Well, I like that.
Yeah.
I'm a platinum member, by the way, with Touch Tunes. So,
Well, there you go.
I'm going to push some music forward right when I get there tonight.
Jump ahead in the line, Pete?
Yes, I like to do that.
What are you going first?
Maybe an AC/DC, Back in Black, Springsteen,
There you go. Hopefully you change it up. I mean, some people play the same songs over and over again. Can be a little
Why are you looking at me? What do you mean? What's wrong with the Rolling Stones?
Nothing. I love the Rolling Stones.
Everybody have their drink?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got drinks.
I took a sip because I just couldn't help myself. It is phenomenal.
Oh, that's wonderful.
This really is a cure-all drink.
Really is. I feel better already.
Yeah. I wasn't even sick, but I feel better.
I needed something like this. I went out last night, so this is perfect.
He's having a rough day of it.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'll really nurse you back to life if you've had too many the night before.
What are your hours at Butch McGuire's?
Usually 11 to 4 a.m.
Okay.
But on Saturdays, we're open from 8 to 5 a.m.
5 a.m.?
8 a.m. to 5 a.m., yeah.
That's a rough one. Do you stay till the bitter end sometimes?
Occasionally. I used to stay to the bitter end all the time, but not so much anymore.
No. I mean, it comes to a point. We were talking about this earlier. Excuse me. I'm a dad of a high school kid, and when you become a father and you're married for so many years, you move your drinking to earlier, so you're home earlier. So it's the same amount of time, but you're just starting at 4 o'clock and you're home by 9:30 in bed.
Yeah. They call that what they call it, darting in college. Day party.
Day party?
That's right.
Darting. Yeah. Oh,
I like that.
Day drinking's the best.
It is the best.
There's just something better about drinking when the sun is up. I don't know.
I'm with you.
I love to day drink.
Tastes better.
Zach, craziest thing you've seen as a bartender at Butch McGuire's?
Oh, man. Where could I even start? I don't know. I've seen a lot of stuff there. I've been there for about 8 years now, and some of the stuff's PC, some of the stuff's not PC.
Give us something good.
People like to take off the clothes, too, especially on St. Patrick's Day.
We've had some, we get a
Why is that?
I don't know.
There's something about they just feel liberated and, have a few shots.
Bullet makes you take your shirts off.
Can't say I've had that problem.
Are we doing shots? What is this? What are we doing?
We're doing a kind of a small version of the Maple Old Fashioned.
Oh, I like this. Okay.
Smells really good.
Small version of the Maple Old Fashioned. Okay. I like it. Thank you very much. I've been there late a few times, and most recently, the latest I've been there, Chris Chelios was there.
Yeah.
And I just have got to know Chelly in the last 6 or 8 months, and
Yeah, he liked to hang out across the street a lot at the lodge.
Right.
A lot of the Blackhawks guys were over there quite a bit.
Right. Butch McGuire's. Do you know Tim Kazurinsky, who wrote the movie About Last Night with Demi Moore and Rob Lowe?
Yes.
Because we had Tim in the studio and he talked about how the bar is modeled after Butch McGuire's, even though it's called Mother's in the movie.
Well, I know when they were filming it on the street, they looked at Butch's, but they thought there was too much going on with like the stuff hanging from the ceilings and all that. So
it's a movie studio. Couldn't they just move it out?
I don't know. They did actually film in Mother's and Shenanigans, though. They actually filmed a few scenes in there.
Okay. But if you look in, it doesn't really look like that. It looks like your bar in the movie.
Yeah, it does.
I think maybe we can get a little kickback for that, if you know what I mean.
We should.
We can find that.
Are you going to work on that for me?
Yeah, I'll take care of that. Zach, what is this again?
That's a Maple Old Fashioned.
That is a perfect holiday drink.
It is delicious. So
I know a lot of people like to kick back after a holiday dinner and sip on some brown water. That's perfect right there.
Exactly.
It really brings out the flavor of the bullet, too.
God, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a delicious drink. It's kind of got that like little butterscotch flavor to the end of it, a little maple.
What's the biggest drink right now at the bar? Is it Truly one of those? The seltzer?
The White Claw.
White Claw.
White Claws are killing
it. Chicago guys, right? Chicago people?
Yeah.
White Claw is a Chicago company.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Truly's owned by Boston Beer Company. So
I think White Claw is from here.
Mike's Hard Lemonade is White Claw.
Yeah. I think they're based out of Chicago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are.
It's a lot of money they're making. I mean, that's the biggest thing around.
Yeah. They're the new Fireball.
Right. Well, isn't it Zima? Remember Zima
I
back
do.
In the day?
Yeah.
Isn't it Zima just repurposed?
I don't know. I mean, I had a couple of Zimas, but I don't really remember them.
I'll even admit, I realize White Claw sort of appeals to a certain demographic, but a night after, because I'm a beer and bourbon type guy, but every so often a White Claw works. And the first time I was home and I saw them in my fridge, and I'm like, oh, I just thought it was like
sparkling water.
Sparkling water.
Type seltzer thing. Water.
So I poured it in a glass over water and I added vodka. And then my buddy's like, dude, that's got alcohol in it.
Yes,
in the White Claw. I'm like, oh, this probably isn't a great idea to mix White Claw and vodka, but it tasted good. Every once in a while, White Claw works for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
But it's funny how White Claws now, you see them, they've been worked into like, because you think White Claw, you think like Becca out of the sorority chugging White Claw and like stumbling down the sidewalk. Now you see them like at nice bars. Like if you see the bar and you look in the see-through fridge, there's a stack of White Claws in there. A lot of people are drinking them. I see them pour over ice too.
Yeah, I was not going to get the White Claw. I'm like, no, I don't need that.
What?
And then I was like, oh, I guess I asked the bartenders. It. They're like, yeah, when are you getting it?
How do you decide on that, what you put behind the bar?
Well, some, you know, they're staples that we've always had forever. And some of those fall out of favor and they're gone. But often I ask the bartenders, like, what are people asking for?
Sure. You
know, there's new products especially, which there's so many, it's crazy. Can't keep track.
I miss the Jaeger bombs from back in the day. Nobody does the Jaeger bomb anymore. You got the Red Bull and you got the liquor. I mean, yeah,
there's a few people that do.
It's pretty rare. It's Vegas bombs now. Everyone wants a Vegas bomb.
What is a Vegas bomb?
It's just like, it's a Crown Apple. We do a little peach schnapps and Red Bull and cranberry juice.
That's wonderful.
Bomb. Yeah.
May have to try that tonight.
Love it.
I mean, just for research purposes.
You guys are hyping Pete up. He's going to come in like a wrecking ball tonight.
I am so pumped. I gotta dial it down a little bit because I got to pace myself. What's everybody's go-to? Kevin, we'll start with you. What's your go-to at a bar? Are you drinking beer right away?
I'm drinking beer or bourbon.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe a shot and a beer to get it going.
I always start with the beer. Lauren, how about you?
If I'm in a beer mood, I do an IPA, anti-hero probably, and then otherwise Bullet on the Rocks.
Wow.
So, yeah,
wow.
One or the other.
I go beer, usually something in the U.S., and then vodka soda. Yeah, Tito's.
I would be going for the Guinness.
The Guinness?
If it's a good Guinness.
Love a good Guinness.
Yeah. Is Guinness different here than it is in Ireland? Because when I was in Ireland, it's like I fell in love with Guinness.
Well, they claim the shipping affects it, but I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, maybe I don't think I can really get behind that.
I mean,
either.
It's all made in the same place.
I think it's the same product.
It is, isn't it? I was just happier in Ireland because I was on vacation and drinking at 11 in the morning. Maybe that's it. Nice. Zach, are you working tonight?
I am. I'm working at 10 p.m., so I got to take it easy on these cocktails we're making here.
So which bar? Are you at the front bar, the side bar, or back bar?
Tonight, I'm at the front bar.
Okay.
So we're expecting a crazy night. It's going to be super busy. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow. Who's working the door tonight? Is it Vlad? Does he still work there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Vlad will be there. He'll be on the door. He can't get out of it.
You know you spend too much time in a bar when you know the doorman. Right. That's the guy that you want to know.
But it's also the best connection.
It really is. I have a cell phone, so I send him a text. That's what you do in the city of Chicago. You got a guy. I got a guy everywhere.
You got to have a guy.
And by the way, St. Patrick's Day, I mean, without a doubt, it's one of the best bars in the city. Just
thank you.
Fantastic. Every year I go with five of my friends, and we wear the tux top, and we show up in a kilt.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
I know.
Right.
I've seen it.
Bobby's like,
many,
yep.
Many times.
You don't really have anything to add to that. Got it. Bobby McGuire and Zach, the bartender, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks
thank
for having
you.
Us.
Thanks for having
Butch
us.
Butch McGuire is a Chicago tradition, and I'll see you in 45 minutes.
All right.
All right. Quick break, and we'll check news bottom of the hour at 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios tomorrow morning. When you wake up at 8 a.m., you can check out Chicago's Thanksgiving Parade. The hosting the Thanksgiving Parade is Lauren Jiggetts and Sarah Jindra. And their sidekick, our old buddy is on the phone with us, is Dan Ponce.
How's it going, Pete?
How is the job so far? Because I feel like I don't need to watch anymore. I just go on Twitter and follow Lauren and Sarah, and they post pictures and video of you.
They pretty much have everything covered. So as long as you're doing that, you don't really need to tune in because their social media is just dynamite.
And they fight with each other on social media, and it seems like a real fight.
Well, I think the actual fight's probably more between Lauren Jiggetts and Morgan Kochmeyer.
Morgan,
they have a yeah, they kind of have a frenemies relationship. They like to duke it out, but it's a really great team, man. We call ourselves the B team.
And we've embraced that. You know, it's been the best marketing plan ever because people like the self-deprecating humor. But the sure. team's doing well, man. 4 to 6 every morning. Doing great in the ratings, number one. We have a great time. Marcus LeShock's part of the team as well. So it's five of us, and we have a lot of fun, man. It's a great time.
Well, we're going to air, what is it, the first hour of the show on WGN Radio.
That's right, yeah. I heard that. I actually heard about it from Mr. Feeder first, I think. He's the columnist that, you know, the media people follow. So I think that's exciting, man. Yeah, we're going to have a little cross promotion, we'll call it.
I really much, Lauren and I were talking about this too, the viral video from Lauren and Sarah about the pregnancy dresses. It was like angry tweets mm-hmm. to celebrities, but people commenting on their attire, which is just like you watch it and you hear it, and you're like, oh my God, how bad does your life have to be to send those messages? Mm-hmm. But they just own it. They're hilarious
right.
about
it. That was great.
Yeah, it was really well done. If people haven't seen this clip, you gotta check it out. And yeah, you guys described it perfectly. They read some of the mean tweets they get, specifically in regards to when they were all pregnant and showing. And you know what was disturbing about that segment actually was I mean, it was great how they did it, the humor and everything, but they had to pick the nice comments, the nicest of the comments. I mean, they got much uglier.
Really?
And the other thing that surprised me that they said was that the vast majority of the comments they got were from women,
yeah,
not from dudes.
Jeez.
So it's like the women were being most critical of them. So, you know, a couple things to unpack there.
People Do you ever feel angry. Bad being a male in that situation? Because I feel like that's kind of common for male counterparts to feel a little guilty and defensive of their female coworkers.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. I think, you know, the reality is like with social media is that the women they get it just so much worse than we do. I think that the guys make a lot of creepy and sleazy comments and people think, oh, they're not going to see this. Like, honestly, you know, we're not the Kardashians. We don't have millions of followers. You know, we see these comments. And they see them. And, you know, a lot of them are hurtful. I think they're, at this point, you know, we're all kind of shrug off those kind of comments. I mean, I'm sure you guys deal with it as well. But it's just, you know, these women, you know, they're pregnant. You know, Morgan is very pregnant right now.
Right.
And, you know, the last thing she needs to hear is, like, you know, people, you know, making comments about her clothing and how she looks and stuff. She's just trying to do, you know, a good job, you know, doing the weather.
I mean, people are so mean.
I know. Really?
There's no filter anymore with social media. We're talking to, by the way, your last name. I've heard, because we've been reading, we've been promoting the Thanksgiving Day Parade. I've heard people screw up your name so much. It's pronounced...
You nailed it, man. I was racing for you to say Ponce, but you said it's a Dan Ponce. You
Ponce.
Pronounced it perfectly.
Yes. By the way, I ran into your parents. I sent you a text. I ran into your parents at Finn Sushi 2 weeks ago on a Saturday night. And I went to the restroom and I turn around and I see your dad. I'm like, you know, you have that thought where, do I introduce myself and explain how I know the Suns?
And you're in the bathroom, so like, when did the exchange happen? Do you still have to wash your hands? Does he have to wash his hands?
Does he care? He's on a date with his wife. But your parents were so sweet. I mean, your mother was so nice. Tell me how you know.
Oh, they're the best.
Tell me how you know Dan and Anthony. And your dad was just so gracious and asked a few, now, what do you do at WGN Radio? You know, just sweethearts, really.
Best. Yeah, they're fantastic. I'm really lucky. We're really good friends. I actually just tweeted out, my mom sent this hilarious text about our Thanksgiving feast that she's preparing for tomorrow, and she's got everyone, you know, with their designated dishes that they're bringing. They live on the north side, so they're still in the city. I'm in the burbs now, and they're fantastic, man. I'm happy you got to run into them. You know, my dad, people think that we talk shop a lot when we're together as a family, you know, and we really don't.
No.
We don't really talk about our jobs that much.
It's interesting how the weird places that I run into you, because I always want to get together with you, but again, you live in the suburbs, which seems like it's like driving to Iowa for me. But I ran into you after a Cub game at the Irish Oak randomly. I feel like I'm always half in the bag too, come to think of
it. Well, you're leaving out our Vegas encounter, remember?
Well, that was my thing. You know when you run into somebody in Vegas and you're so happy to see them? Well, I walked out. We've been drinking all day at the pool. I showered, and I'm about ready to get into a car, and we're going to dinner, and I see Dan. Where was that, at Caesar's Palace?
I don't remember which casino. I remember I needed like a you know, sometimes you're in Vegas, you just need a break from the crew. You just think, man, yeah. I'm going to go for a walk. You know, so I'm walking around, and I'm going through the door. I think it was Caesar's Palace. And here's McMurray is coming out. He's like, what's up? What are you doing? And we had a great time, man. You invited me out to dinner with your whole crew.
I grabbed him and threw him into the car. I'm like, you're coming with us. Heck, hi. And the thing is, in Vegas, that I go with a crew of about 8 guys, and you have to go around the table and make a toast about the guy to the left of you.
So he didn't know.
And I was just, I was a mess. I forgot to eat that day, and it was bad. And so Dan's making toast about guys that he doesn't really care about. And
it was hilarious, man. But I think that says a lot about you, Pete. Like, you know, it was, what's up? What are you doing? How's it going? Hey, my buddies and I were about to go out to dinner. I was like, yeah, let's do it. I mean, it's Vegas.
That's true. So many people act like they didn't see you and keep walking and wonder if you saw them.
No, I always make a scene. That's my thing. So tomorrow morning, by the way, do you have to host the news tomorrow? Are you just doing the parade?
No. I get to do the parade, fortunately. It's my fourth year in a row doing it. My first year was with Lourdes Duarte, who's my co-anchor at the time. And then I hosted it with Lauren Jiggetts. And then last year, Lauren was on maternity leave, and Sarah Jindra co-hosted it with me. And then it's going to be Lauren again tomorrow. So this is my fourth year in a row. It starts at 8 to 11, and no, we do not have to do the news beforehand.
I mean, it's a lot of work. 3 hours of looking at bands and, you know, marching bands and floats. You got to get a little bored.
It's a really good time, but you're right, man. It is 3 hours, and you're on the whole time because there's really not much of a break. I mean, even the commercial breaks, you're prepping, you're moving around. We're going from the street to the booth. We have, a lot of sponsored segments. It's a long day, but it's really fun, and there's always really great energy out there.
What if you have to go to the bathroom? I mean, that would be my biggest fear.
Honestly, man, it's a huge consideration. Like the good folks that are at Channel 2 let us use their studio as like a home base.
Okay.
So we do. I am able to sprint in there and go real fast and come back out. But I remember one year, like I was, by the end of the 3 hours, like I got to get out of here.
Wow. I would have the attention span to maybe do about 52 minutes, and then I just walk out.
Yeah.
I couldn't host the parade.
No, it's fun. It's so fast paced. Like it's a really great show. It's become a great Chicago tradition. There's all kinds of, great music, acrobatics, a lot of, kind of cool. Obscure performance art. People come from all over the world, all over the country. It's a good time.
What's your favorite thing to see?
Oh gosh, I really like
Santa Claus because it's over.
You know, I'm particular to a lot of the Mexican American acts. Just being Mexican, we have such a great Mexican community in Chicago. A lot of great music, a lot of great dancers. Those guys on the horses and everything. So I really look forward to that. I love the Jesse White Tumblers. They're like a Chicago staple.
Yep.
And honestly, like the local high school marching band, you think it's pretty cliche, but they are so, so good. And they've got such great energy. So it, like I said, it really is a great parade.
We had the co-grand marshal on, Chris Sullivan, who plays Toby on This Is Us last hour. I feel like when he walks through, everybody's just going to start crying. Thinking about the show, This Is Us. Toby, oh my God.
I know. He's going to be there. Miguel Cervantes, who plays Hamilton,
is
going to be there. Sarah Jindra is going to be along the parade route, talking to, families and fans and stuff. It's going to be a good time. I hope people tune in.
You know what? Next year you need to work in a radio guy. I'm going to step up my game.
Hey, man, stop by. If you want to stop by the booth tomorrow and just crash it, if you have a beer or a little bourbon.
Oh.
Jiggetts likes a nice White Claw.
Oh, I like that.
We'll throw you on TV with
I didn't know you had a bar backstage. Now you got me. I may have to stop by. Dan Ponce, tomorrow morning you're going to be hosting the Thanksgiving Day Parade. Brother, happy Thanksgiving. Good to talk to you.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. Hope everyone can join us tomorrow.
All right. That is Dan Ponce. That is awesome. All right, Lauren, let's check traffic. We're a little late. All right, 720 WGN. Thanks again to Dan Ponce. He's just a great guy.
Can I bust in with Bears breaking news here?
Oh, boy.
The Lions down to their third-string quarterback.
What?
David Blough, a Purdue Boilermaker, Lauren, is going to start over Jeff Driscoll, who's been... Driscoll's out. Bears had already beat Driscoll. He's a hamstring issue. Obviously, Matthew Stafford's been out for over a month now with hip and back problems. So it'll be David Blough... out of Purdue from, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Interesting. He's got an arm on him, so look for the passing game.
What's the line on that game?
Last I saw was 3.5 Bears giving, obviously.
Just, I don't know. I don't have faith in the Bears. I do not have faith.
Yeah.
I'm going to be angry tomorrow during the game. I get so angry.
Do you? You one of those guys?
I do. I get so mad.
No, see, that was me, and it really has gotten to the point where I can't help but laugh when these things go wrong, because you just expect them now, and it's like, really? I didn't think it could get any worse. I couldn't see a worse play, but then you see one, and it surprises me.
You have to remember, I'm married to a Packer fan, so she'll give me the passive-aggressive line like, oh, you guys are getting better. I mean, your quarterback, you know, there's nowhere to go but up.
Condescending.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd probably play that right if I were him. He'll become the first Lions quarterback to make his NFL debut since at least 1950.
Wow.
Look, there's no reason the Bears should lose this game. There's just not. The Lions are banged up. I know the Bears have some injuries as well.
And we just beat them.
The Bears just beat them. They beat Jeff Driscoll at home a couple weeks back. So.
That's what makes me nervous. Now they have a different quarterback.
Yeah, but third string in Purdue, so, and I trust
Drew Brees came out of Purdue.
Yeah, but how many years ago? We haven't been very good in the past decade.
See,
this is
great because you and Pete approach fandom the same way, where she says she refers to the team as we, and so do you. Like, like we need to get things going. Like you're a member of the team, which is fine, whatever.
I get so upset with sports. The other night when I'm a Northwestern fan, but same. I went to Bradley.
Yeah.
So Bradley's playing Northwestern. They're down by 20 at halftime. I'm calling three of my brothers. They're like, what are you doing? I go, I'm watching the Bradley game. I'm so upset. You see the coaching? You see what he's doing? It's like, you got to calm down, man. You're watching cable right now. Maybe it's time to walk away. It is. We have some, you know, we get passionate.
I understand. Extremely. That's the fun part of being a fan, right?
That's a great thing about sports in general. I never get when people are like, I'm not really a sports person. Like, what?
Lauren, the first time when Lauren first joined the show, Ro was like, okay, we should all go out as a show. Mm-hmm. You know, a nice little bonding night out.
I love when Ro does that.
Love a good bonding night. And so we went to the Blackhawks game. And the Hawks lost. And we're like, bummer. You know, it stinks. And I'm like, look to my right. I'm like, Lauren was just right next to me. Where did she go? And she did the thing where you kind of like hit your back on the wall and slide all the way down. She was on the floor, devastated over the Blackhawks loss. I'm like, all right, Ro, we've got a diehard fan here on our hands. And at White Sox games, she gets very passionate when we sit in the seats, yeah, too.
I get a little animate. You know how when you play video games, you find yourself leaning to the certain direction that you're going? I kind of do that. Walking and like doing little movements, following the puck as it goes down the ice, and then my arms just go way out to
leaning left, leaning right.
Yes, depending on.
Are your parents passionate about sports?
Yeah, so that a big reason why I'm into sports is from my childhood memory. All we did together as a family was common,
right?
Was watch sports together.
Right.
Obviously, we did other things, but the most common thing was sit around the TV and watch sports. We go to White Sox games all the time. Even before I have like a full memory, some of my earliest memories are going to the White Sox game with my baby blanket. That's how young I was.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
If your parents are passionate about sports, you're most likely passionate about sports. Were your parents passionate?
My mom really could care less. My dad was pretty passionate. Loves the White Sox. Loves the Bears. Sports were always on. For me, it was me. I had two brothers, and we played sports, so we wrestled and beat each other and played sports in the backyard.
Fist fight every day.
Debates at the dinner table, at the kitchen table.
Right.
So,
yeah.
My dad was passionate about it. My mom was like, she didn't really care. She kind of just rooted for what we were rooting for.
My dad was such a huge Bear fan. Yeah. I had Doug Plank on the air last night, was telling a story. You know, I don't know if you heard Cochran this week. Hamp was talking about how he broke his nose on Thanksgiving Day, where the shortest Thanksgiving Day or the shortest overtime in NFL history happened on Thanksgiving Day with the Bears years ago while they were playing. I think it was 1980. They ran back a kickoff, you know, 110 yards for a touchdown. Well, there was a big pile on in the end zone. And Hamp didn't really want to talk about it on Cochran's show because he broke his nose and it ended up to be Walter Payton. So I had Plank tell me the story last night, and he said that Payton did the flip in the end zone and grabbed Hampton's mask as he was flipping over. So he pulled his mask, and then the mask hit his nose, so he was pulling it as he was falling the other way. And then he started talking, you know, we start talking about the old days, and it reminded me of Bob Avellini. So people that remember the 70s, this is when my dad was very passionate about the Bears. Bob Avellini was terrible. He couldn't pass. The Bears just suck then. And as Plank was bringing it up, I started getting angry. I'm like, this reminds me of the days when my dad used to scream at the TV.
Yeah. Well, like in 20, 30 years, we'll all be like, I'm sure people will be thinking about the days, these days with it's like every, it feels like every week we see the caption pop up on the TV broadcast of like, this team's had two quarterbacks over the last 30 years. The Bears have had 47.
Every game.
But when can they get one franchise quarterback?
I just want a good quarterback. That's it. Can we get a good quarterback in this city?
Between that and the double doink.
Yeah.
Those are just everything bad about the Bears is brought up every game.
Now
every
I don't want to watch the game tomorrow.
This team's had three quarterbacks over the half century. The Bears have had 75.
Do you think any Bears fans has started a jersey, kind of like what the Browns did?
Yeah, where they duct taped the names on the back of it because it's not even worth buying a jersey. I know. I saw a Pinheiro jersey out the other day.
Cut it out. Did you go and tackle the guy and punch him?
No, I was like, nice jersey, man. And he was like, oh, thanks. I'm like, I don't know. Is this a joke?
It's got to be a joke.
That's what I figure.
Yeah.
So
there's a reason he was available last summer. He's not a good kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's had stretches.
Stretches of what?
I don't know, Pete.
Ruining everything?
Let's stay positive. It's Thanksgiving.
All right. I need to decompress. All right. Quick break. We'll check news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Pete McMurray here along with Kevin and Lauren for a few more minutes before Dave Ennett takes over. Northwestern. Who's Northwestern playing? I know you've done the sports.
Yes. I have
once every
hour.
You haven't paid attention once the
there
entire show.
There are times
show.
Where I do all these reports and then after the show.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, who are they playing tonight? I don't know what it is.
Start to blame.
They're playing Pitt. The Fort Myers Tip-Off Challenge Championship.
They looked great against Bradley the other night.
Your Bradley Braves took a little took a beating.
How is ISU this year?
I don't know. I don't even know off the top of my head, Pete.
What do you mean? This is your alma mater. It's the Missouri Valley.
I don't want to.
You
got to
pay attention.
I am paying attention.
Bradley was 4-1. Now they're 4-2.
Yeah,
they have a pretty good team this year.
Did you ever go to the War on 74 matchups between ISU and Bradley?
Of course I did.
ISU's totally owned it. ISU out of out of the gate. They've lost four straight.
Four straight.
They're 2-4.
What?
Yeah. Purdue first in Big Ten. Just saying.
What?
Yep.
Are they really?
Yep.
Purdue, we all know what's going to happen.
Well, you got Gene Katie as the coach, so.
What? No.
What? He retired? Is he not there?
Forever ago.
Greatest comb-over in the history of college basketball.
We do play on Katie Court, though.
He's got the biggest. Is he still alive?
Yes.
I mean, he was a great coach, but he had the biggest melon, and that comb-over started, like, in the back. Do you remember what it looked like?
Yeah.
The Gene Katie comb over?
Well, actually, yeah, no, you're right. Now that I'm like,
he had like a Charlie Brown melon, and the comb over was just tremendous.
The comb work there was really intriguing now that you.
And what do you do? It's got to be sticky so it just kind of stays, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just looked up a picture. It's wild.
It is wild. Where does that part start?
In the back.
It does. It starts in the back.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It was weird, and no one ever mentioned it. It's like, how come we're not talking about the hairdo? It's the weirdest thing. It's just odd.
It's so bad. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
Yeah.
A lot of guys got away with that back in the day. Yeah. Crazy.
I don't think so anymore.
No. Has anybody started Christmas shopping?
No.
I bought one thing, and I have a few ideas. Otherwise, no.
Let me tell you why I'm the greatest husband on the planet is because I know exactly what my wife wants because I ask her best friend to tell me, all right, what should I get Sarah this year?
That's a good
idea. And she sent me three links last week. I am done.
Nice.
Completely done with Christmas shopping.
Well, what about for Charlie?
Well, I mean, you know, I'll pitch in a little bit, but my wife will take care of that.
See, we've gotten to the phase in my family, we're all older, that you just have a group text. It's like, okay, what does everyone want? And I feel like that takes away from the fun of Christmas.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, because then you're just going to either expect it, or you feel guilty asking for what you really want because it might be like a little too expensive or something.
The new iPad.
Right.
Yeah. My siblings and I, we stopped getting gifts for each other. We're just like, whatever, forget this.
You know, that bums me out because that happened at our family after the recession in 2009.
No, don't be bummed about it. It's not like... anything bad, we were just like, who cares?
Save money,
Yeah.
Why? It's Christmas. You want to give. And it's fun. I enjoy
my
the
dad's
gift-giving.
Like, my dad's like, what do you want to give for Christmas? I'm like, nothing.
I feel guilty asking, especially in this business. I've made no money for so long that I didn't want to ask for anything because they already helped pitch in, you know, if I was out eating with them.
Well, my
or
gifts,
vacations.
Hey, Scrooge.
My
hey,
gifts,
guys.
My gifts now consist of, like, last year my parents bought me new brakes. This year is going to make a credit card payment
for me. Yeah, I got new tires last year.
Yeah.
Credit card payment.
Yeah.
Yeah, money
and new brakes.
Stuff. Like, stuff like that. Yeah.
You are a professional now.
Yeah.
You can't let your parents make a credit card payment?
Well, my point is this. It's like, they asked me what I want. If I could have anything, it would be for those things. Like, I need this for my car. I need this. I need that.
How about a gift certificate for dinner so you can take them out to dinner?
Well, then it's a gift for them.
So they buy themselves dinner?
Wow.
I don't know. It's just happy man. I don't need anything else.
Our family stopped doing the grab bag. We have 12 kids, and the kids used to, you know, we'd buy each other a gift, and I thought it was great. And then after the recession in 2008,
everyone's like, that's
gotta be difficult. 2009, my sister Di sends out an email to everybody, or a text to everybody and said, hey, maybe we should give to charities this year or just bypass the grab bag. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. And everybody else said yes. I'm like, what's wrong with you people? It's Christmas. This is fun.
It is fun. I will say, I love giving gifts, even though I don't like asking for them because I feel like I've had a lot of help along the way. But I do love giving gifts, even though I don't necessarily have the money to spend on them.
The greatest gift that I've seen this year so far is the White Castle sweater.
Wow.
What?
White Castle. You can go on their website and you can buy a White Castle ugly sweater. They also have a candle that smells like mini cheeseburgers.
Ew.
Oh, God.
Okay, you know what? I just have to say, this is going to sound so strange.
That would be wonderful. Look at this.
Sliders also smell like a litter box.
Stop it.
I swear to God.
Don't even.
Look, I love White Castle, 100%.
Same.
But, like, after I eat it, the next morning, I can just, like, kind of, I feel like just White Castle steam coming off my body.
It's, like, sweating out of you. Yeah.
You can find an ugly Christmas sweater now for anything.
Yeah.
It's almost defeated the ugly sweater, though.
But the White Castle one.
So you can get everything like that. There's a Miller Lite one.
What happened to you? You people hate Christmas.
I love Christmas. It's just.
Just if you get your brakes fixed and somebody pays a credit card payment. Wow.
Hey, I'm going to be like giving out those Blackhawks calendars as gifts.
Yeah.
I didn't get one. What are you talking about?
When's the last time you went to a game?
They give out calendars, dude.
Shoot. Okay. All right, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your day tomorrow.
This was fun, Pete.
This was an awkward ending.